about.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you...
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Said I'm here, being interviewed by K-Rock.
If you could throw Kevin and Bean in there, that would be cool too.
Kevin
and Bean.
Bean, they're the one for me.
Okay, baby, why don't you get on the groove on the Armenian variety show?
And now...
White guy power.
That's white guy.
All right, man.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right.
White guy power.
Our feature presentation.
I could listen to Sam semi-sing all day.
Sure.
Whatever that noise was he was making. Good morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 12th of March.
So this is still a thing we're still doing? We're still doing this every day?
I agree. Yes, that is
still
happening.
Still coming in and doing this?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean. How's it
going? How are they?
They're great.
They look great.
They're better than ever. I don't.
Yeah,
I
think so too.
I can't explain it, but.
It is weird.
Maybe because I hang upside down an hour a day. Maybe it has something to do with it.
Well, whatever you're doing, it's working. Keep
okay,
doing it.
Good.
Anyone have a bad time on their honeymoon?
No.
No.
I think I did. I don't remember very much about my honeymoon. That's in the phase of my life that I no longer recall. But I do know that I've heard from my wife that I refused to put sunscreen on and burned the tops of my feet. We were in Mexico and burned the tops of my feet so bad I could barely get out of bed, could barely move.
That totally happened to my boyfriend when he was married long ago.
I don't need sunscreen.
Yep.
Really? I mean, I think I put sunscreen everywhere except, I was wearing flip-flops or little shoes or something with no socks or whatever. And, just completely scorched the top of my feet. And it was so painful. Same thing with your boyfriend, Lisa?
Yeah, exactly. And I did that, too, once. It wasn't my honeymoon, but it's horrible.
Yeah, it's very painful. You cannot walk at all. It hurts so bad. So that was my bad honeymoon experience. But that's nothing compared to this story. An Atlanta couple, they just got married. They're on their way down to Costa Rica on a Delta Airlines flight. And I don't know if they were coming straight from the reception or what, but they had been drinking quite a bit. Maybe just on the plane to celebrate getting married and heading on their honeymoon, they started drinking. And then apparently they started drinking some more. And then apparently they started not getting along so well. And then they got into a fight.
Oh no. On the plane?
Yes. And this is, I assume, it doesn't say this, but I assume it's, within a day or two probably of them getting married, right?
Sure, yeah.
So the fight gets so bad, and you don't see this very often, that the pilot decides that he's going to have to land so they can kick one or both of these people off the plane.
Wow.
It's pretty serious when it goes beyond just the flight attendant saying, hey, seriously, folks, you're going to have to cool it until we land. So they land in the Cayman Islands, and the husband is kicked off, and the bride remains on board for the flight to Costa Rica, presumably to enjoy her honeymoon suite by herself.
Wow. I like that. I like the, I'll get off with you. Nope. You know what? Go enjoy yourself.
Oh, my God.
I would love to hear the conversation and how it was. There's very few details in this article. How it was decided which person gets thrown off and the conversation between those two. Because even in the heat of we're having a fight and in the heat of, hey, we're drunk, you know that the guy expected his wife to stand by her man and get off the plane with him, right?
Oh, sure. I would imagine
we're
so.
On our honeymoon.
And where was he dropped off? What island?
The Cayman Islands.
Yeah, that's not so bad either.
That's not so, of course, but they've got no,
reservations
there, anything like that. Who knows what the circumstances are.
They're already spending, a ton of dough on the other place.
Exactly.
Yeah, they have money.
Right.
So I don't know what they do. I mean, he was held in custody on a charge of drunk and disorderly conduct. I don't know if there are any other more serious charges as a result of it being on an airplane or not. But he was met by authorities at the airport, and the wife, probably got a new dude, and she's enjoying that honeymoon suite, and life is good for her.
Good times.
Oh my God.
So it's a happy ending for everybody except for that dude.
Exactly.
All right, let's talk about this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
The 22-year-old virgin is in the house.
Okay. We have Harley from Epic Mealtime in the studio today.
He's
boy,
great.
Can that boy eat.
Yes. I don't know if you've seen this, but he does a video with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And they make a sandwich that looks like it's the size of a car.
Well, it's absurd. It's 80,000 calories, I think.
We have
mugs. You can handle that, right?
Yes, I could be.
Oh, sorry, no mugs again.
I don't know why that's his voice. Adam Carolla will be here today.
Eh.
We're going to talk to Johnny Hendricks about UFC 171. Mm-hmm. Looks like a fantastic fight with Robbie Lawler. That should be great. We have tickets for April Foolishness for you today.
Yes.
And we also have one of the comedians from April Foolishness, Doug Benson, will be in the studio as well. Talking about his show, Getting Doug with High, and talking about April Foolishness. So we'll do all that coming up. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next. No 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
Jim Jefferies, Patton Oswalt, Adam Carolla, Tim Minchin, Mark Maron, Doug Benson, Eddie F., Taylor Williamson. It sounds too good to be true, but it's the lineup for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014. Just quick reminder, it's coming up Saturday, April the 5th. Tickets are going on sale this Friday at noon. Proceeds benefiting Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai. Nick, you should go to krock.com, get all those details, but buy those tickets. As Ralph said yesterday, these things go fast every year. Mm-hmm. It will sell out, and if you want to be there for the best night of comedy of the whole year, you definitely want to plan to buy your tickets. Speaking of Ralph, time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning. What's going on, dude?
If I wasn't going to that show, I would go to that show.
Right?
If you weren't going to that, yeah, you would make the decision, that's a show I need to go to.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. I agree.
Good thing I'm going then.
It is a good thing.
It all works out. So, I think a wedding says so much about a person. For example, Kanye and Kim. France, crowns, fashion shows.
Right.
Everything you need to know about those people is right there in the planning of their wedding.
He's not showing up in a Batmobile.
That says my wedding said a ton about me. Absolutely. I will cop to the fact that my wedding with my wife said a lot about both of us. She had Swarovski crystal centerpieces at the tables at the event, and I showed up in the Batmobile. It's everything you need to know about my wife and I. She's got style in class, and I'm a nerd.
And patience for you.
And patience. Exactly. Everything. It's all right there.
Yep.
Kanye and Kim, Paris, crowns, fashion shows, pretentious douchebags.
Yeah.
Now, Britney Spears has announced her wedding plans.
She going to try and one-up them?
According to Radar Online, she hopes to tie the knot with her fiancé, David Licato, at Elvis Presley's estate, Graceland.
Oh, I didn't know Graceland rented out for weddings.
I don't know if they do or not, but that was her goal. She said she's going to reach out to Lisa Marie Presley for permission to start planning her nuptials at Graceland right away. That's everything you need to know. White trash redneck wants to get married at Graceland. Just pull up in a trailer. Just pull up in an RV eating Cheetos barefooted in Daisy Dukes with a wife beater on.
I like it.
Graceland. Stop it. Speaking of weddings, things don't always work out.
Really?
In celebrity marriages.
I thought they all got along afterwards and it was all amicable.
Not Elizabeth Moss and Fred Armisen. You may or
really?
May not.
Because their marriage was so short.
You may or may not remember that in late 2009, the Mad Men star and the Saturday Night Live star got married and then divorced just 10 months later. In an interview with New York Magazine this week, Elizabeth Moss says that her marriage to Fred Armisen was extremely traumatic, awful, and horrible.
Wow. Wow.
That's it's unusual to hear a celebrity say something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And now all I want to know is what the hell happened.
Because if they were married 10 months, that means probably halfway in they were miserable, right? Takes you a
if
while
they got
to
divorced
pull
10 months later, yeah. You're saying? So five months in, they knew there was trouble.
You would think.
And for her to say it was traumatic, awful, and horrible.
Yeah. That's more than just we didn't get along. We had some
disagreements. That's not he didn't put the cap on the toothpaste.
Right. Left the toilet seat up.
That's he. I saw him
making German porn.
Making love to a severed pig's head.
Same thing.
Wearing Satan horns.
Wow. I wonder what happened.
Texting a goat.
Ralph just told you.
I just told you what happened. Now I'm dying to know. So we got to get her on and ask her.
By the way, she's never looked better than she does in the photos for that New York Magazine interview.
She does. She looks great. While we're talking about getting people on and interviewing them, apparently Lord ran into a bean-esque creepy DJ.
Oh, no.
In Australia, and went off on him.
Did she?
Yeah. Radio host Kyle Sandilands in Australia started talking to Lorde about her friendship with Taylor Swift, hinting that the two were in a lesbian relationship together.
Don't you understand? She's a lesbian.
He said to Lorde, I'm not talking about Ellen together. I'm talking about you guys are just friendly, right? And then Lorde fired back with, what do you mean you're not talking about Ellen together? Is there something wrong with lesbians? Then the DJ says, it's as if Bean was doing the interview.
How dare you?
Oh, my God, no. I would love that. Are you going to confirm now that you're in a lesbian relationship with her? Lorde apparently got very quiet, then calmly said, don't even try it.
She doesn't
and intimidated the DJ into changing the topic right away.
We've had her in here. She doesn't exactly put out the vibe that she's going to go for that comedy.
No, she doesn't.
Any comedy.
No. She's pretty
she's
straightforward,
serious
young lady.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. Oh, my God, no. I would love that. Are you lesbians?
Please tell me you're
the
lesbians.
The salute to tuna.
You just know that would...
I really want to believe that.
Are you guys going to have a webcam? Do you ever have pillow fights when you have sleepovers? No.
I didn't come over here to eat tacos.
So bean-esque, that whole story.
Yeah.
Could've been us. Pay for this much carpet.
All
but
right.
Look at how much I got.
Okay, we get it. Jiminy Cricket. And did you have any idea there was a Queen musical? You know, like they have the Mamma Mia is the ABBA musical. And
yeah, this is We Will Rock You, right?
Yeah. I didn't know there was
sure.
a Queen
yeah, it's
musical.
Sure, playing in London's West End.
All right. All right. Johnny Broadway. I'm just saying it's not as well known as many of the jukebox musicals like Jersey Boys and Mamma Mia. Those are smash hits that I was aware of.
Hey, Ralph, there's a Queen musical.
Well, not anymore. It's closing its London production. After 12 years.
Wow.
It's been around for 12 years, and it's news to me.
Here's the big hit from
this
that.
This close to going to see it.
The big show closer. Hard to believe that wouldn't make it.
Made it for 12 years.
Yeah, not bad.
Apparently there's going to be a tour of the musical making its way across North America, and then a German language version is set to play in Munich and Frankfurt.
Yes.
That'll be sweet. That'll be sexy. That's a lovely language. And you sing anything in German just makes it sound better. Was will man in der Wacke? Na, der Seifenstein, den Seifenstein, wir an Eigenstrohenstein. I think it sounds like World War II from those people.
Talk to our little friend Casey with her finger on the button.
You she talk to our friend Casey.
No, I'm saying if you're interested in the show, she saw it in Las Vegas a number of years ago.
Like so a monkey.
If you have any questions about it, she can tell you how the show is. That's all.
God, this is just stop it. It's just a news story. Everyone, stop getting involved. Just stand clear of my toboggan. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress singer Liza Minnelli, one of Kevin's favorite people.
Yeah, no.
68 years old today. Singer James Taylor is 66. Ron Jeremy celebrates his 61st birthday. Apparently he's healthy and well and doing fine. Remember when he
That's
almost
good.
His heart almost exploded
yeah.
and we lost him?
Yeah.
Aaron Eckhart, 46 years old today. He's the goods right there, except for that I. Frankenstein thing.
Well,
I know what to get him for his birthday. New management. Guitarist Graham Coxon of Blur is 45 years old. Actor Sam Levine, one of my favorite guys in the world, Sam Levine. I know Sam listens to the show from time to time. Happy birthday, Sam. He's 32. And Jamie Alexander. You know her as Jif, the popular peanut butter from Thor.
I don't think it was
not Jif. It's Liff.
Peanut
Stiff,
butter.
Stiff. Griff.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that
Smith.
One. Probably Smith.
Gliff. Tiff. She's one of the Asgardian warriors from Thor. She's 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Dave... The King of Mexico.
That's me.
Producer of the Kevin and Bean Show. And I'd like to say, Kevin, I hope you'll back me up on this. I believe in all the years we've been doing the show, through all the producers we've been through, I believe Dave is the best.
Well, up until yesterday.
Come on.
I was trying to give you some padding here, trying to give you some backup, some support here, Dave, because apparently now your job's on the line.
Here's the thing. We after the show, we go into the office and we you know, brainstorm about the next day. And then Dave brings up pitches of people that want to be on the show or ideas. And he took the floor. I mean, he basically had all of our attention, and he played us a video, and then he told us that he wanted us to talk about something called a cat cafe or a cat-fe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where are the kids?
And if I recall, one of us said, what? a cat-fe. And then somebody else said, F you. And I believe I said, die. I don't remember exactly all of it, but here is some of the video. These cat cafes are places you can just go, like during lunch, and pay for an hour of playing with a cat.
Right.
That's a thing.
The idea came about from a recent stay in Tokyo. They have a multitude of themed cafes there, from cats, puppies, rabbits, owls, goats, penguins, maids, and even butlers. They're gaining popularity worldwide, with many already open in Taiwan, South Korea, China, and new ones popping up in France, London, Australia, and Russia. The metropolitan areas of Tokyo are very much a high-paced, high-stress environment, and those that wish to own pets in their own homes are seldom accommodated. Pet cafes offer a nice alternative.
By the way, let me just say, first of all, they hired the right guy to do the Kickstarter video because the excitement that is emanating from his presentation.
He is a great spokesman.
So the cat cafe and other animal cafes are very popular in Japan, and Dave's pitch was that there's a Kickstarter campaign to bring the cat cafe concept to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And he wanted to know if we wanted to talk to the people who were raising money to bring this idea to us.
And we didn't say no. We said hell no.
Yeah. I believe the words were F no.
Well, okay, that was that. Do you have any process by which you look at things of your friends, you know, Kevin and Bean, and you go, I don't know, I know them pretty well.
You know, I go through a lot of stuff, and there's things that are, I think, interesting. And I think this is interesting because think of the cat cafe, Kevin. Think of how much it will help Los Angeles.
I think it's helping cats because cats will get adopted and they get attention because these are cats from shelters.
They get attention for certain hours.
And it's helpful for people because it's very therapeutic for people to be able to interact with
all right.
animals.
Now, Lisa's on your side, Dave.
Yes.
Now, are you still?
I win.
Yeah. We win.
That helps?
Yes. Come on.
Kevin. So let me make sure I understand here. Is your problem, Kevin, that you hate cats and the idea of the cat cafe, or is your problem with Dave that he suggested it as a topic for the show?
Well, both. But the more troubling one is that Dave suggested it as a topic for the show.
Well, listen, I know how much you love cats, so I think it would be funny that, you know, I thought Bean would be on my side,
cats
which he
just
wasn't.
Suck.
You know,
no,
and
Bean was not.
No, he
so
was.
So that
he
should
said,
have shaken your belief in yourself.
You know, that I was shocked by that,
all
but
right.
It was okay. I was okay with it. But I thought maybe if we have this guy on, it would be a balance of, you know, one guy saying yay, one guy saying nay, and then, you know, it'll be funny. It'll be a great topic. But wow, I was wrong.
Yeah,
in the
you're
room.
Wrong on yeah. every.
The volume of hate over there.
Yeah.
Not
just
it's
me.
Extreme.
Not
yeah,
just
but,
me.
Here.
Ralph Garman also
yes,
on the
Ralph
same.
Ralph Garman as well.
You guys hate cats.
That's
yes,
a stupid idea.
But
and
I wanted
B, who you were confident was going to take your side, was
yeah.
a no.
He just thought maybe this guy wasn't the right guy. But I think this cat cafe, the cafe, would be so helpful to Los Angeles. And it's interesting and it's funny.
But wasn't the point, even in the clip that we heard from the Japan video, that people in Japan can't have pets because their homes are too small or
yes.
they work too much? Or whatever. In Los Angeles, people who want to have a cat can have a cat, right?
No, there's tons of people who live in apartments where you're not allowed pets, and tons of people who work really long hours and know it wouldn't be fair to have a pet, but they'd love to go to lunch and be able to just have an animal in their lap for an hour to pet. It's awesome.
That's pathetic.
You guys.
Think about how this will help traffic, right? Everyone hates rush hour traffic, but if everyone after work is all stressed, goes to a cat cafe, hangs out with the cat for an
Wait,
hour or
hold
so,
on a second.
Boom! Traffic relieved.
You're
Way
telling
easier
me
easier than going to a bar and throwing back a few.
You're
yeah.
telling me that tens of millions of cars will just disappear from Southern California because they're all at cat cafes.
I can see the 110 right now clear, you know, clear because if it's in downtown, boom! Everyone's at a cat cafe. It's rocking. They're waiting about an hour in line to hug a cat. They hug a cat. They feel better. Everyone wins.
If
and
I had
maybe
realized,
there's a bunny cafe after that.
If I had realized you were already you were solving traffic problems, I would have voted yes.
See?
I didn't realize that was part of it.
This is beyond just a cat cafe. This is going to help Los Angeles.
Dave thinks
man.
Big.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah,
at
I'm thinking
all.
A bigger picture.
It's not really at all because this is a city where you can have pets for the most part.
And you can find apartments that allow cats, and you can find, for the most part, people have
Put it this way, Kevin. Listen, I don't have kids, right?
Right.
And I like kids, but I like kids for a little while. Like, I'll be like, oh, look at this baby.
Sure, and then you hand them back off to the
parent. Oh, it starts crying. Oh, I don't want it.
Right.
With the cat, think how awesome it would be where you could hug a cute little kitty or an adorable fat cat, and you're hugging it, and then once it starts getting all crazy or it starts pooping around, you just give it back. Boom, done. And you're happy. You're like, I got my fail.
I think let's start with the cat fay and then go on to the kid fay.
I don't back the kid fay, but
so then you can go play with a kid
for like an hour
and then hand it back.
Exactly.
Oh, you guys are full of great ideas.
I love
Keep them in cages in the back. Now I'm on board.
I'd like to vote die.
So when do I book them?
Can we vote die?
Come on.
When
it's
do
a
I book them?
You're not booking them.
He's on tomorrow.
You do the interview. That should be fun.
So tickets are going on sale Friday at noon for Kevin Means April Foolishness 2014. That's the big comedy show we've got coming up on April 5th at the Shrine. We are actually giving away tickets right now to you at 1-800-520-1067. But Kevin, as I understand, you're going to have to earn it yourself by being a little bit funny this morning.
You have to tell a joke, and we're going to bring in Rodney the Joke Machine, Rodney Bingenheimer, who's worked at this.
Oh, Rodney loves comedy.
Oh, he knows every punchline that's ever been said. So if you can stump him, you tell the joke. Rodney has to come up with the punchline. If you can stump him, you go into the drawing for the tickets for April Foolishness.
All right, so you give him the setup. Rodney gives you the punchline. If you stump him, you have a chance at winning your own tickets for April Foolishness with Jim Jeffries, Patton Oswalt, Adam Carolla, Tim Minchin, Mark Maron, Doug Benson, Eddie Eft, and Taylor Williamson. In-house music by our friend DJ Mike Realm as well. All right, let's turn our attention now to the video that everybody is talking about. I think Ralph hit the nail on the head yesterday in the Showbiz Beat when he was talking about how Bieber was partly a dick. Well, A, he's a dick anyway. But B, he was really turning on the dictum because he thought nobody would ever see this video. He thought this was a private deposition video, that he could be as much of an a-hole as he wanted, and it wouldn't reflect poorly on him with his fans. But man, was he wrong, because it's out, and it's up at TMZ.com.
Here's a little bit of the audio of the other attorney asking him basic questions like, have you ever been to Australia? And Justin's just a complete dick.
Remember earlier today when I asked you?
No.
Why don't you listen to what I had to say, and then maybe you'll tell me yes or no.
I don't have to listen to anything you have to say.
All right.
Yeah, I don't have to listen to anything you have to say. Why don't you listen to my? Why don't you let me finish my question? No.
Are you aware that Scooter Braun knows that your bodyguards have attacked photographers?
What? Objection to form.
What kind of question is that? That didn't make sense.
That's correct.
That doesn't make sense. That's a weird question. That didn't make sense.
So, good times.
I didn't hear your response. I'm
You know I didn't finish my... I didn't finish.
Oh, I'm sorry. I won't interrupt.
Oh, really? You didn't want to interrupt.
What a punk. Seriously, send this kid to his room. Well, he's had a busy couple of days since the video came out, but we asked producer Dave to track down our friend Justin Bieber, and I believe we have him on the phone with us right now, back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Justin.
Wow, the questions, bro.
I just said hi.
Just said hi, really.
Just hello. That was it.
No.
What?
That's all I did was say hi.
How's it going?
Wild questions, bro.
So, Justin, are you at all embarrassed by how much of a tool you... No, let me finish.
No.
Let me finish asking the question.
I don't know.
Listen
to
what he has to say.
I don't have to listen to anything you have to say.
Oh, for God's sakes.
I don't have to listen to anything you have to say.
Are you embarrassed by what a tool you appear to be in this video that has been released and is up on TMZ.com?
Guess what?
What?
Guess what?
What?
I don't recall.
You said that so many times with that stupid smirk. I'm sure it made the opposing lawyer want to slap it off your face.
I don't know. I don't know if I ever was with an opposing lawyer. Was I?
Well, yeah, we were.
Was an opposing lawyer?
We saw the video. Yeah, it was you and your lawyer and opposing lawyer.
That's a weird question. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Nothing. That wasn't even a question.
No.
Justin, how do you think this... What makes you... Why is...
Are you afraid?
No.
This made you look bad.
This isn't going to make things easier for you. You know the case doesn't go away because you're an a-hole, right?
Guess what?
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 Guess what?
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 I don't recall.
But see, here's the thing. If they ask you if you've ever been to Australia, they can prove that you've been to Australia. I mean,
I don't have to listen to anything you have to say.
But you know you've been in Australia. What do you gain by saying, I don't know if I've been in Australia, when you clearly do know? How does that help you?
Guess what?
What?
You don't recall.
Yeah, okay. You don't recall. So is this just the way it's going to be now? You're never going to give a straight answer to a straight question again, Justin?
I didn't finish my answer.
Yeah, you did. You were completely finished.
You know I didn't finish my answer.
All right.
I don't recall.
That's how you finished 10 seconds ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't have to listen to anything you have to say.
I don't feel like we're making progress.
I don't either.
What? Oh, Justin! Why? What's going on? Dude! Not that I'm not happy, but dude! What happened?
I make myself sick.
Okay, good. I don't belong. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:36.
All right, listening to the Rodney on the Rock Show.
Nope.
KROQ.
Rodney, you're just joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show for a second.
Rodney on the Rock Show.
Okay.
Call in now if you want to talk to my special guest. Deborah Harry is going to be on.
Nope, Deborah Harry is not here. Rodney, let me tell the folks that we're actually giving away tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014, Saturday. April 5th at the Shrine. Blondie, unfortunately, is not going to be able to attend, but we do have some great comedians lined up. Now, Rodney, the reason you're here is, of course, you've been a DJ here on K-Rock for decades. You know everything there is to know about music, particularly the 80s. The 80s seems to be your decade for sure.
I love the 80s.
But we're not talking about music today. The reason we're here is because one of your other skills is that you are a joke library. You are an encyclopedia of comedy. You know every joke that has ever been told. Am I correct about that?
All right, Adam Ant, Goody Two Shoes.
Again, we're not talking about the 80s. We're talking about jokes. So we have callers on the phone, Rodney. They're going to give you the setup to a joke. You probably know it. All you have to do is supply the punchline, okay? If you don't, they go into the drawing to try to win their tickets for Foolishness.
All right. Godhead.
Let's get started with Rodney the Joke Machine.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Rodney the Joke Machine.
It is Rodney Bingenheimer. He likes to tell a lot of jokes. You would not think that this dude is a really funny guy. You tell him any joke and he will tell you what the punchline is. And that's how he got his nickname, Rodney the Joke Machine.
He's Rodney the Joke Machine.
All right, Rodney. So 1-800-520.
All right, Rodney on the Rock Show.
Rodney,
still Kevin to be. Still Kevin to be.
Next Blondie.
There's no Blondie.
Let's go to Rhonda instead. Rhonda is on line
one. Okay.
Help me, Rhonda. This is about jokes, not about music.
Brian Rhonda. Wilson wrote that about Rhonda.
Thank you, Rodney.
Hello.
Hi.
Right.
Tell us the joke without the punchline, and Rodney will come up with it.
What did the gang member say when his homework flew out the window?
A flock of seagulls.
Come back to your essay.
You see now, hers was a punchline to a joke that made it funny. Yours was just the name of a band from the 80s, Rodney.
Flew out the window like a seagull.
Come back your essay.
A flock of punchline.
Oh, no. You're Rhonda, congratulations.
Excellent joke. Thank you. Please
help
hold on.
Help me, Rhonda. Mike loves saying that lead for the Beach Boys. All right.
Just trying to get punchlines out of you, Rodney.
Yeah.
All right.
Who's our next contestant?
Let's go to Joey.
God,
hi.
I like twins.
Hey, Mark and B. Hey, all right, Rodney. What do fat chicks and mopeds have in common?
Fat chicks and mopeds. What do they have in common, Rodney?
Sinead O'Connor.
Does that make sense to you?
All right.
As a joke?
Sinead O'Connor.
Joey, is it Sinead O'Connor?
Nothing compares to you.
No, they're both fun to ride until you get caught riding one.
All right,
you are in the drawing, Joey. You see, what's happening here, Rodney, is they're giving... Oh, never mind. Who's our next contestant?
All right, let's go to Blake. Hi, Blake.
Hi, good morning.
All right.
You're not doing so well, Rodney, but try to pay attention to the joke and see if you can come up with the punchline. Go ahead, Blake.
All right, what do Eskimos use sleds for in trading?
Spandau Ballet. All right. What did I win?
You didn't win anything.
Okay.
Rodney. Blake, is it Spandau Ballet?
I'm afraid not.
What is it?
Toboggan with.
Do you get it, Rodney?
You see, Rodney? You see? Toboggan with.
Bargain. Frankie, it's a play on the word
Hollywood.
Bargain with.
All right.
Hold
All right, Blake, you're in the drawing to win your tickets for April Foolishness. Everyone else, by the way, don't forget they go on sale this Friday at noon. Who's up next?
All right, this is an easy one. We're just going to throw you a bone, Rodney.
Okay.
Mike is on the phone. Hi, Mike.
Coming up next, the bone throwers.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, guys. What
did the gay horse eat?
What does a gay horse eat?
Echo and the Bunnymen.
That doesn't okay, now, before make... you answer that, I want you to think back to all
answered.
The jokes. I know, but think back to
Too
all
late.
The jokes you know, Rodney. Do you have any jokes that involve gay horses and what they might eat? Does that sound familiar at all?
Kajagoogoo.
All right. Is it Kajagoogoo, Mike?
No, it's hey.
See?
Echo and the Bunnymen. I was right the first time.
Gay horse.
No, but
made
could
me
you
change
have,
my answer?
But could you have even figured that one out just if you'd never heard the joke before? Didn't you see that one coming, Rodney?
And emotion.
All right. Let's go to Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Well, we're doing well. Rodney, not so well.
He's all right.
Not the joke machine we thought, but.
Come up next, the Bengals.
Let's hear your joke and see if he can get this one.
How is playing bridge like having sex?
Bananarama.
Rodney.
All right. Cruel Summer.
That just doesn't make sense.
It does. They made
How
that
is
song.
Playing
they
bridge?
That song. Of course it makes sense.
Like having sex.
Bananarama.
It's not.
Are
is
you
it,
deaf?
Is it Bananarama?
I told you already.
Steve, is it Bananarama?
Slap you, bitch.
You know, it was close, but unfortunately not.
What is it?
If you don't have a good partner, you need a good hand.
All
see?
Right.
See, Rodney? See, now that's how you tell a joke, right there. That's a punchline that makes sense. It's not a band from the 80s.
Pepsi and Shirley.
All right. All right. We only have time for a couple more. All Everyone right. is in the drawing so far. Let's try Samantha up next. She's on line six. I'm feeling good about this one, Rodney.
All right.
All right. Hi, Samantha.
Good morning.
What is your joke, please?
Have you guys heard about the new corduroy pillows?
Rodney? Now, hold on, Rodney. Don't answer. Now, think about these words. Have you heard about the new corduroy pillows?
Heard about the new corduroy pillows.
Right. Good.
B-52s.
What? How does that make sense
to you?
Love
Shack. They probably have corduroy pillows at the Love Shack.
Samantha, is it the
oh,
B-52s
right.
Love Shack?
No, but they are making headlines.
See, because corduroy would leave a line on your head, Rodney.
All right.
It's not a good joke, but it's certainly one you should know.
Sugar Hill Gang.
Thank you, Samantha, for calling. We appreciate that. How about Mike is up next with another joke for Rodney Joke Machine.
Hey, Mike.
How are you doing, Matthew?
We're doing well. Rodney's doing very poorly. He has not gotten one yet, but good luck.
All right. Why don't women wear watches?
Debbie Gibson.
Okay. Okay, that is a woman. Good.
Right. She why doesn't wear a watch.
Why do women not wear watches? That's the beginning of a joke. What's the end?
Only in my dreams.
Okay, that's a song by Debbie Gibson. Doesn't
yeah,
have anything to do with
I
her
win?
Wearing a watch. No, the game isn't you name songs by bands.
All right.
Mike, is it Debbie Gibson?
No, it's because there's a clock on the stove.
Exactly. Amen.
It's a sexist joke.
Morris Day
Rodney?
The time.
Well, you got time. I'll
yeah,
give you.
All right.
I
mean, all right.
You didn't win anything, but
one more, Rodney.
I'm hungry.
See if you can redeem yourself. You claim to be
breakfast.
The joke machine. Let's see if you can come up with the punchline to Bob's joke. Hi, Bob. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You're on with Rodney Bingenheimer.
Hi.
Why do chicken coops have two doors?
Rick Astley.
Wide word, Rodney.
I think your friend's deaf, Bean.
If they had four doors, it'd be a chicken sedan.
See, okay. The difference between a coupe and a sedan.
Right.
Two doors.
Rhonda, Joey, Blake.
Help me, Rhonda.
Shut
Mike
up.
Mike S., Steve, Samantha, the other you Mike, and up. Bob all had jokes. Rodney got none of the punchlines,
right.
So they're all in the drawing for April Foolishness 2014. Lisa, only one can win. Who's it going to be?
It is the other Mike on line seven.
Yay!
Mike, congratulations.
Thank you.
Sexist joke, well told.
Gay horse eats hay.
Nope, different joke.
He's Rodney, the joke machine, the joke machine, he's Rodney.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Saturday night, Dallas, Texas, UFC 171. The World Welterweight Championship is at the top of the bill with Johnny Big Rig Hendricks versus Lawler. We're going to talk to Johnny himself coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Wednesday morning, Ralph joins us. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Now, what's going on?
This is sad news. Captain James T. Kirk.
What happened?
Get pulled over for a DUI.
Did he?
He's a damn starship captain. If he can fly the Enterprise, he can fly his little car through you, New Zealand. Christopher Pine busted for DUI in Kiwi country, according to TMZ.com.
He was partying at a bar in New Zealand with some fellow actors and his girlfriend when he drove through a checkpoint, and apparently law enforcement officials thought maybe something had been up there. They made him stop and used a breathalyzer on him. He blew a .08, the minimum for being legally drunk, and now he's got to show up in court on Monday. Apparently he was polite, easy to deal with, say the cops there in New Zealand, and so he'll have to face a judge on Monday, and we'll see what happens. But come on, it's New Zealand. What's he going to hit, a sheep? For God's sake.
I'm not sure that's the...
Just let him go on his way.
I'm not sure that's the answer.
New Zealand is grass and sheep.
That's the entire
country.
Other people on the roads, Ralph.
Yeah, all right. He's going to hit the cart. He's going to hit the cart that you're pulling your hay in. Come on. He's Jack Ryan, saving our country and space.
Really just an actor.
That's what he wants you to believe. That's his cover, man.
I see. My bad.
You open up a blog. This story is so disturbing, and yet... gives me hope.
Okay.
It's also from TMZ. Floyd Mayweather apparently thought two of his employees were stealing his jewelry. So he had the men meet him at an off-site location, and when the men got there, Floyd was waiting for them, along with a number of his friends, who proceeded to beat the men with various weapons, including clubs.
Really?
Oh, wow. Sources say the attack was so brutal the men could have easily died. They both had broken arms and legs and were hospitalized for 7 days. Then it turns out that the guys didn't steal the jewelry.
Oh, no. Was that an oops, my bad?
It's an oops. Certainly an oops, my bad.
Wow. Can they tie it to him?
Yeah.
Mayweather?
Well, that's what they say. Problem for Mayweather because... sources are saying the attacks really amount to attempted murder, mayhem, and kidnapping. Both men have retained a lawyer. TMZ said they tried to reach out to Floyd's people for comment. So far, no word back.
Huh.
Shocking. But this could be problematic for Floyd Mayweather. How sweet would it be if he went to prison?
That would be pretty sweet.
It would be the sweetest, right?
Yeah, I think so.
They froze all his assets, and he went to prison.
Yeah.
And they melted down all his gold. Into bars, put him in a golden cell.
I just wonder if he'll try to bet on whether he'll be convicted or not. You know how crazy he is with those huge bets on sporting events.
Got anything else?
No, I'm just saying, he's kind of famous for that, for putting a lot of money on games and whatnot. Seems like he's got a little bit of a problem.
Kristen Bell is the perfect woman.
Indeed.
She was at the Oscars, of course, in a beautiful dress that may have been a little too tight. It was corseted. You know, it was your typical mermaid hemmed Roberto Cavalli.
Sure.
Like we wear sometimes when we go out.
Yeah, I love that.
Well, she's admitted to the fact that the dress was uncomfortable to sit in and also so tight. And she was hemmed in there and stitched in and lassoed in and corralled in there. She couldn't relieve herself. In a normal way.
Okay.
So?
Did someone ask for this information?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Kristen was asked by Kelly and Michael.
Oh, Kelly and Michael.
Live with Kelly and Michael, with Michael Strahan and Kelly Osborne. Who's the Kelly? Rippa. She said, I didn't realize until I got into it, but there was a situation regarding going to the bathroom, so I had to use a mason jar. Apparently, she relieved herself into a mason jar. She had to put the mason jar up between her legs inside the dress, and that's how she was able to go to the bathroom because she couldn't use a toilet like a...
Well, sounds sexy.
At the Academy Awards.
Like a regular person. Yeah. Going to mason jars.
Lisa, that sounds difficult, is it?
It would be difficult and possibly messy, but I can understand in certain outfits.
You got a pretty good mouth on a mason jar.
You know, things
well,
go
Lisa, I don't know what you're packing down there, but
sometimes.
I'm just saying.
You don't know.
Just saying. So
aiming is hard.
She had an issue.
Sounds like Lisa's got more of a sprinkler system going than she does a hose.
Sometimes.
I used to call Lisa the rain bird in college. I don't know why. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Liza Minnelli, 68 years old today. Singer James Taylor, he is 66. Boy, he's been
his voice
a long
sounds
time.
Exactly the same, by the way, now as it did 40 years ago. Well, what's up with that?
Because he never strained it. He never raised it above 3 decibels ever.
But he doesn't sound like an old man, is what I'm saying. He still
sounds
like
an old man when he was 20.
That's the thing.
Maybe that's
he
what
he started
it is.
Out sounding like an old man.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Who's in the plans we made?
Yeah, it's hardly full throttle.
How are you going to blow that voice out?
You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running.
He'll have a voice forever.
That's true.
Barely ever used it. It's a gently used voice, is what
that's
I'm saying.
That's true.
It's the Honda
it's like
used
new.
Cars of voices. Aaron Eckhart's 46 years old. Ron Jeremy's 61. Sam Levine. Love Sam Levine. 32 years old today. And Jamie Alexander, I was kidding, of course, last hour. I know she's Sif from the Thor world. I know all about her. Hey, where's the bell for Jamie Alexander, by the
yeah,
way?
What about that?
Thank you. She's 30 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Another quick reminder that April Foolishness 2014 tickets go on sale this Friday at noon. It's a great lineup. Jim Jeffries, Patton Oswalt, Adam Carolla, who will be on the show later on today. Tim Minchin, Mark Maron, Doug Benson, who will be on the show later today. Eddie Heft and Taylor Williamson. Tickets go on sale Friday at noon. All proceeds benefit Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU. It is a great night of comedy. April 5th at the Shrine Auditorium. You definitely do not want to sleep on this. Friday at noon. Get your details at krock.com.
Time to talk UFC with Johnny Hendricks.
I believe that one day I'm going to be the welterweight champion. That's the only thing that's pushing me. That's the only thing that's motivating me. I need to get that.
Why the sad music? What's up with that?
I know. I'm crying listening to it. That someday, though, could be this weekend, Saturday night, American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas, pay-per-view at 7 o'clock. It's Big Rig versus Robbie Lawler, and Johnny Hendricks joins us on the Kevin Amin Show right now. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hi. How are y'all doing today?
Very good. Thank you.
Now, did they put that weepy piano behind you while you were saying all those things, or did they add that afterwards?
I think it sounded afterwards, man. I didn't know they were going to put that sad music. I feel a little bit more happy.
Well, how are you feeling? You've been thinking about this for a long, long time, about being the World Welterweight Championship. It is now within your grasp a few days out here. What's going through your head, Johnny?
Stay focused on what I normally do. And what I normally do is I break it up in three different stages. You know, first stage is the actual camp. The second stage is cut the weight, and third stage is you go out there and have fun.
Does it get to be kind of, does it screw with your mind that it's going to happen, but just not right now? You're totally ready for it, but you sort of have to wait until Saturday night? Does that drive you crazy?
You know, realistically, I've been competing all my life, you know, so it really doesn't bother me that, that you got to wait for so long. It's just one of those things that you just got to say, okay, it's going to happen. Don't worry about it. Don't think about it type attitude. Just do what you can do to stay focused.
I got to tell you, after you knocking George St. Pierre literally out of the sport and having a lot of people ask you about that decision that he won that fight, how do you keep a positive mindset about that? Because you basically went in there and beat the champion and didn't get the belt, and you were all this time you've been, well, you do your best. You've always taken the high road, and I don't know how you do that. It seems like I would be angry beyond words if I beat the champ.
Well, you know, that's the thing is you know, realistically, there's two ways you can do it. One, you can be very pissed off and you stay mad at the sport or stay mad at what happened, the situation. But, you know, here's the thing. Everybody makes mistakes and everybody's human. You know, and like I've said it many times, judging is a very hard thing to do. And, you know, it's just one of those things that you've got to take a path. You got to choose it. And when you choose it, stick with it.
Let me ask you another question. Something that does bother me about the sport is that when you're the champion, you get a lot of leeway. If a guy beats you by a little bit, generally he won't get the win. In that fight, if you're the champion and he's the challenger, you would have won that fight, I would imagine.
Exactly. I probably believe that as well. But you know, like I said, it's just one of those things. You just gotta move forward. Because if I dwell on the past, I forget the future. You know, and it actually worked out even better because we know that GSP does have a slow turnaround rate, and I'm actually able to fight here in Dallas, where I live. So everything worked out for a reason.
Yeah, and by the way, Texas has been great to the UFC. You guys have sold this fight out. You sold out the last one in Houston, and I know they've got big plans for the future in that state. How many of your people are going to be in the crowd watching you fight live on Saturday night, Johnny?
Oh, man.
Everyone you went to high school with?
I don't even know. Realistically, I think, let's see here. I think we have, we bought like six suites and sold them out.
Wow.
They hold like 25 people. Then we have a bunch of people that have just bought regular tickets. I'm guessing it's probably going to be like just people that I like know or interact with. I think it's around 2,000 people.
Wow! Yeah. That's quite a cheering section built in for you.
I was thinking 200 or 300.
Yeah.
2,000 people.
I think I took like 500 to Vegas.
Holy crap.
Now, I know you have a lot of fun with playing off the awesome beard that you have, Johnny. You know, go beard or go home. And I know you got the action figure out there with the big beard and stuff. What's the secret to keeping that fantastic facial hair? Do you put a lot of time into it, or are you just one of those lucky guys where you just do nothing and it always looks great?
One of the lucky guys. what I'll do is I'll shampoo it, you know, and condition it. I pretty much treat it like my hair. And move forward like that. but I will trim it up every once in a while. It just depends on the camp, you know.
It looks sharp, man. I mean, next to the baseball player Brian Wilson, you might have the best beard in sports, dude.
Hey, you know what? He does have a great beard. I don't think he ever shaves it, though, does he?
I don't think so. He looks like a homeless guy by the end of the season. I do know that. What do you know or what are you willing to say about Robbie Lawler? How much time you spend thinking about him?
Let's see here. When we first found out we're going to fight him, we pretty much started watching film on him. He's a tough dude. He does have heavy hands. There's certain things that he will do that can put him in a dangerous spot, meaning that he can become dangerous. And so what I have to do is I have to be aware of those situations. I have to be aware of whenever he does want to come in the kill mode, because not every punch is a kill mode when he throws. Sometimes he just throws to create action. So that's what I have to be aware of, and that's what we've been focusing on a lot.
What's your fight day like when you wake up on Saturday? Is it different than normal days?
No, I usually wake up right around 10:30, 11.
Nice.
And then, let's see here, go eat breakfast. After breakfast, come back, relax for about 30 minutes to an hour. Go train at 2 o'clock, meaning get like a 30-minute workout, get the blood flowing, get your juices going. And then come back and relax. And wait till you go with the UFC. That's the way it's always been. And then when you get to the UFC, you stand around the back. I try to keep my locker room fun.
Right.
Happy. and then we wrap our hands and all that kind of stuff. And then the second fight into the main card, I'll do another workout. And I'll get even better blow in, meaning that I'll try to push my lungs a little bit harder.
Wow!
Right there, and so like realistically, that'll be like a 30-minute go, but it's gonna be like a fight. So that way I can get my lungs working really well, and I'm in such good shape that I will recover.
That's amazing. That's amazing that you're literally working out until the night of the fight. That's crazy. What's the song that you'll walk out to on Saturday night?
It's $50 on a Flask of Crown.
Beautiful.
By Blue Edmondson.
Fantastic. Well, it's been 5 years plus since another man has had the World Welterweight Championship, but it is definitely going to happen this Saturday. It's going to be you or Robbie Lawyer. We got our money on you. We can't wait to see the fight. Big Rig, it's great to have you on the Kevin Bean Show. Good luck to you, my friend.
Hey, thank you, guys, and y'all have a wonderful day.
Thanks.
It's a $5 deal, Togo style, only at participating restaurants for a limited time. Big, fresh, meaty Togos. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
K-Rock, the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
It is 26 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Can I hear you say big, fresh, and meaty again? That's awesome, Lisa.
Big, fresh, meaty.
Exactly.
All right.
Hey, it's getting Muggsy in here. Our friend Beer Mug has joined us in studio. Now, Kevin, you weren't quite in this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show when Muggs was telling Chip and me about what's been going on after hours.
I was here, though, yesterday when we were having a conversation. And the thing about Beer Mug is the exact same thing about the Armenian comedian.
And how that is, dare you?
The Armenian comedian fully believes that he is the most humorous person on the planet. The actual truth is the opposite of that. Beer Mug is that in the betting world.
Yes, Beer Mug believes he's figured out how to gamble and win, and you can't talk him out of it. No matter how much money he loses, he always knows that he's the best gambler ever and that he's got a system that can't be broken.
We sat there for an hour yesterday yelling at Beer Mug about his blackjack playing and an hour. And yeah. He just wouldn't. Ralph was there. I was there. You know, Dave the King of Mexico was there. Christine was there, assistant producer. We were all going, Beer Mug, you don't know what you're talking about. He would not hear it. He knows what he's doing.
Yes, he does.
He has foolproof ways of making money. And that's why he's in the position he's in right now, which is
down how much right now, Muggs?
Do you guys remember when I was down 1,500?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Just double that.
$3,000.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
So you're down.
Okay. I'm on the verge of being down $3,000. I'm 300 away from being down $3,000.
So $2,700 down. Now, what are you betting on here?
Why don't you just say $2,700?
Because I'm probably
it's $3,000.
Because I'm going to be down $3,000. So, Kevin, I'm not feeling good.
Because it's easier to say double $1,500, right. But then yes. Minus $300.
Yeah. All right. I'm not feeling good about this. I'm betting on.
You shouldn't be.
I'm betting on basketball, Bean, college, and NBA.
How did you get to 2,700? Is that a series of large bets or is that hundreds of small bets?
It's a series of very large bets, at least.
Like, are you betting like $500 a game or
no,
something?
No. I don't heed any of the advice I've been given. We had good. Yeah, we had listeners call and say, don't do parlays, Beer Mug. Well, yeah, I keep doing parlays.
Right.
For like $100.
Okay, but if people are giving you good advice, yeah. And hold on, and what you're doing has you $2,700 in the hole. I don't know. Maybe give it a thought.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm stupid and dumb, and I don't listen to people. And, yeah, I'm $2,700 in the hole now. And now I have one more chance, and that's tonight.
But tonight, though,
are
you're going to turn
all,
it all around.
All $2,700 on it?
No. I have $300 left.
Okay.
But I'm just picking.
Wait a minute. By left, you mean what?
Because credit. Credit.
Okay.
Credit.
That's what I'm saying. You don't have that money.
Now,
it's not like you could pay that back today if you had to.
The scary thing is, too, Kevin and everybody else, my guy,
yeah,
who we'll name T-Rod,
sure,
a.k.a. Vinny Knuckles, said, you know what, I'm going to need to collect on Sunday. And he's never done that before. He's never been like, I'm going to need to collect. He kind of like.
Have you ever been 2,700 down?
No.
Okay, good.
He says, I'm going to need to collect because I don't want you chasing your losses. Vinny Knuckles doesn't want you chasing your losses.
He's cutting you off.
Yeah, he's cutting me off because he sees the downward spiral I'm going in.
But you don't see that, so you're going to bet again tonight.
Right. Because I have one more shot.
Okay.
And if I don't make it tonight, Kevin,
right,
I'm done. I'm literally – there's no way I'm going to try to dig myself out of a three-ground hole.
How many times have we heard that, first of all? And second of all, we're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. What was the bet that ended it for you? You decided that you needed to stop gambling because of a specific bet. Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067.
What are you doing with your $300 tonight? How's that going to work?
I'm going to put it on – I would have put it on about a 7-team parlay.
Oh my God.
What could go wrong with that? Yeah,
for those of you that don't bet, that means he's picking seven different games And if six of them win, he loses.
Yeah.
He has to get all seven.
I have to get all seven, and I'm doing them all straight up winners. I'm not taking the spread. I'm just doing it. All I have to do is win.
Okay, so you have $300 on that. What does that pay?
That pays...
If you win, will it wipe out the...
No, it won't. It'll cut it like in half. And that's the sad
part. So you need seven games come through to cut just your gambling debt in half.
In half. Yeah, that's where I've come to the realization of... This is bad. This is the last straw. I can't do this anymore.
You know what you should do is you should take that $300 and you should give it to Vinny Knuckles, and then you'll be down $2,400.
The problem with that...
That's better.
The problem with that, Kevin, is he wants at least half of it. I can't just give him $300.
Okay. And if you lose, what are you going to do?
I'm probably going to have to take out a cash advance out of my credit card.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah.
You should write a money column.
By the way, both of your legs are still unbroken too, right?
That's
so you still got that.
I still have those. Yeah, okay. But he's going to want it all.
Now when he says Sunday, I mean
he means Sunday. Because he has to cover it. He has to cover
the
loss.
So he's in effect loaning you the money.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Muggs, if this $300 doesn't win for you tonight, you're going to be $3,000 in the hole, and you're not going to gamble anymore. That's the bet that's going to put you out of the game.
Now
right?
Here's the thing. It's not that I'm not going to gamble anymore.
Right.
But I'm just going to gamble smarter, not try to.
Okay, so we're looking for you, listeners. If you're smarter than Beer Mug, and you got to the point where you stopped gambling because you had so much in debt, or you bet too much on one event, or whatever, you got in over your head, and you ended up not being healthy for you, and you quit because, unlike Beer Mug, you realize you're not necessarily a great gambler. Yeah. That's who we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls in a second on K-Rock.
Comedians Doug Benson and Adam Carolla both joining us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now we're talking about a different kind of comedian, and that is Beer Mug, who makes us laugh just with his life. He's so far in debt right now that he's taking his last $300 and putting it on a seven-team basketball parlay tonight to try to start chipping away at some of that tremendous debt. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 about the bet that you made that made you realize maybe it was time to give it up. Maybe that's not your hobby. Maybe that's not how you ought to be spending your time and money anymore.
Let's start with Jeff, who had a bet on the Super Bowl, which I imagine a lot of people did. Hi, Jeff.
Hey.
You bet what?
$1,500. Lost it. Sucked.
Now wait. Now if you're Beer Mug, you're $1,500 in the hole, and you go, I got to get back out, so I need to make another bet. Is that you?
No, man. I learned my lesson. I've been betting $100 on basketball games with my dad, and my dad convinced me to go in on the Super Bowl with him.
Nice.
He lost.
Thanks, Dad.
It hurts to lose that much money. That's a lot of money. But there were a million people across the country who made bets like that on the Denver Broncos and on the strength of Peyton Manning's career. I mean, there's no shame in that, my friend.
I know.
There's a shame in being out $1,500, though. Thank you for the
That's
call.
That's true. Thank you very much for the call. Speaking of Super Bowls, let's go to line five, please. This is going to be David. He had a beer mug-esque moment, except he walked away.
Hey, David.
What's up, guys? This is Santa Monica!
Yeah! 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 He hasn't left!
He told us he had a week left, so he got in one more. That's
nicely
fantastic.
Done.
See, he's a pro because we were told, here's a guy who lost his 68 Camaro betting on the Raiders in the Super Bowl. We thought, perfect. That's exactly the kind of call we want. And we go to him, and there's Sam with Santa Monica.
That was sweet.
Awesome. All right, let's go to Sandro. Sandro's on line seven, yet another Super Bowl-related bet.
Hey, Sandro.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
What did you bet?
Remember on the Patriots road to perfection?
Yes.
And when I won money all the way to last game, and I bet my $20,000 new truck on them winning the Super Bowl.
Now, this was when the Patriots had won the first 18 games of the season. We're going for a perfect season and lost in the Super Bowl to the New York Giants. And you were so convinced they'd win, you put your truck up on it.
Yep, and I won the money throughout the season making the bets on the Patriots because I'm from Providence.
Okay, so gotcha. Wait, were you – hold on a second. So were you up 20 grand and then you just lost it again?
Pretty much.
All right, that's not terrible.
Because you started
yes,
from
it was.
Well, of course it was. No, I don't mean it wasn't terrible when you lost. I just mean you didn't start from zero and go to negative 20 grand.
Well, yeah, yeah, but it's a truck. I'm a construction guy, so, you know.
That hurt.
All right.
But are you calling us to say you stopped betting as a result of that?
Yes.
I would think so, yeah.
I'm almost surprised after winning 18 weeks in a row and then losing one. I'm surprised, you know, the odds were still pretty good for you, but all right.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Sandro.
Let's go to Will real quick. He's on line 8. He actually had his bookie cut him off, just like Vinny Knuckles is threatening to do with Muggs.
Hey, Will.
How you doing?
You used to live in Vegas.
Yeah, I used to live in Vegas, and I worked at a major hotel, and we had our guy. And Beer Mug, he's not going to hit this. These 17 parlays are insane. I hit one in 2004.
Yeah.
And I can't hit anything else.
So your bookie cut you off?
Yeah, at 4,000.
Wow. At 4,000, you were done. Now, the thing about Las Vegas that I imagine would be scary is that there's another bookie right around the corner. I mean, you can have as many bookies as you want, right?
Well, it's mad. It would seem that way, but, you know, you gotta, the guy's got to know you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. I got you. Okay. Yeah.
So it's just thousands of little bets that killed me.
Sure.
Hey, Will, let me ask you a question. What if all my teams are just straight up favorites? Just no spread, just straight up. Is that?
I can answer that. It's a guarantee then. Thank you, Will.
You're such an idiot, Beer Mug.
You want to close with Danny? He's on line 1. I think he's got some good advice for Beer Mug.
Hey, Danny.
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Good, thank
good.
You.
Good.
Beer Mug.
Yes.
Keep on betting the way you're betting. Okay?
Listen.
Wait. Listen, the odds are in your favor.
How you is know, that possible?
You've been betting so stupidly, consistently stupidly. Eventually, you're going to hit.
That's
eventually,
right, Danny.
Eventually, you're going to hit. And then the people are going to be standing back saying, dude, what happened? And they're going to, you know, people should place bets on whether you're going to hit or not, like within the next 5
That's
or
awesome,
six.
Danny.
Yeah. Bets, you know? Dude, keep on betting like that. You're going to hit.
You're
going
right.
to hit.
No, you're right. I mean, that's
you
how
know,
I...
You can only be stupid for so long.
That's right.
That's Absolutely. How I got. That's how I got out of the hole the last time.
Right.
Keep on betting.
Okay. Keep
right.
on betting. Keep on betting.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:05. Harley from Epic Mealtime later on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. And as mentioned, our friend Doug Benson joins us after the top of the hour. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Harley, my Tusk co-star.
Oh. I was not aware of that.
Well, now you are. Consider yourself aware. Hello, is this thing on?
It's on.
Yeah, Harley's in Tusk.
We're trying to keep all your projects straight. Tusk is the funny. Other Kevin Smith movie,
Kevin
right?
Smith's new horror film, yeah.
Okay.
Harley's in it, and he's very, very funny.
Fantastic.
Is he an actor?
He's a good actor in this film, so I would say yes.
Okay.
I think he would definitely qualify because he gives a great performance in Tusk.
Fantastic. Can't wait.
Yeah. Speaking of movies, Sabotage. Sabotage. Spock. Spock. Sabotage the system.
Oh, my God!
That's how you say it, sabotage.
Sabotage. You say sabotage, I say sabotage. Brand new movie starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sam Worthington, Terrence Howard. They all play members of an elite DEA task force who find themselves being taken down one by one after they rob a drug cartel's safe house. Do not do that, people, unless you're Beer Mug.
Right.
That's the kind of wise decisions Beer Mug makes.
And it's a fine decision.
Look, he could probably steal $2,700 from a drug cartel, and he would be... Even.
There you go. For a day.
Maybe we should do that.
Out of debt.
See, the more we encourage him to gamble,
right,
the more likely it is that Vinnie Knuckles will kneecap him.
Oh, that's going to happen.
That's what
and
I'm
he's
saying.
He's going to keep gambling. There was no option of him
He'd
not
be
gambling.
In a wheelchair, and then yep. he'll be missing a limb, yep. and then one eye. It's just going to take him apart piece by piece.
One ear.
And then we can finally say, he just can't do the job anymore. Can we finally fire him? Because he's just... He's just drooling over there in the corner in an iron lung. He really can't operate the board any longer. Sabotage is in theaters everywhere. Theaters Friday, March the 28th. We, however, are doing a very special little K-Rock advance screening of Sabotage Wednesday, March the 19th at LA Live. Very cool theater down there near the Staples Center. So call me now, 1-800-520-1067. That number is the number to call.
First five callers who get through will get a pair of passes to the advanced K Rock screening of
Sabotage. Sabotage. You say sabotage. I say sabotage.
Spock, sabotage the system.
There is a musical adaptation of Bullets Over Broadway on Broadway right now, starring Zach Braff. Began its previews Monday night at the St. James Theater. Bullets Over Broadway, of course, very funny Woody Allen movie. New York Daily News is reporting special instructions were given to the cast on answering questions from the fans and the press regarding Mr. Allen.
Oh, really?
They are not allowed to answer any questions about the child abuse allegations, one show insider said.
Yeah, I can see that.
And if Woody insists on attending the show, the plans have been made to usher him in and out of the theater when the lights go down. Boy, is this guy guilty without the benefit of a trial. Did you read his response? His only time he's ever going to refer to it and address it?
I did not.
He sent a letter to the New York Times. And when you read that letter, it's very compelling.
Is it?
You're like, maybe we all jumped to conclusions a little too early regarding the situation.
Hmm.
Because,
That would suck, because it seems
because
like...
that thing, I think, sticks with you. Right or wrong, guilty or innocent, that will stick with you forever. Which maybe some people had in mind when they made those allegations. You know? Who knows? No one will really know the truth, but it's affecting at least this production. So that's got to be tough for that cast, too. They're busy trying to get a Broadway show up and mounted. They want it to be hit, and then they have to deal with all that stuff.
Yeah.
In the periphery. Kristen Bell's my gal. Turns out she used a mason jar to relieve herself at the Oscars because her dress was too tight. That's what I'm talking about. What women do for fashion.
Yeah.
They'll pee in jars rather than get a dress that's comfortable that you can take off and use the bathroom.
Lisa, have you ever worn an outfit to any event that you were not able to pee in?
I have not. But
how about
I wasn't
that
going
leather
to the
cat
Oscars.
Suit? What about that leather cat suit you used to wear with me with this cat of nine tails?
Had that little zipper, remember?
Yeah,
Ralph?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. I was busy. I had a hood on. I couldn't really tell. Former House co-star Olivia Wilde is coming back to television. She, of course,
is awesome.
Is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's. Is she already married to Jason Sudeikis, or are they getting married?
I think they're engaged,
they're
but
engaged.
Pregnant.
She will be part of HBO's new TV series about rock and roll. It looks to be a great production. Mick Jagger and Martin Scorsese are the producers. Bobby Cannavale, one of my favorites, will be starring as the president of a record label and takes place in the 70s.
Fantastic.
Where cocaine flowed freely and payola was the name of the game in the record industry. It'll happen in the club scene in New York City. I guess it's loosely based on the Casablanca Records story.
Right.
Neil Bogart, I guess his name
That's
was.
That's right. I read that book, and it's shocking how much money there was. I mean, there was so much money to go around that everybody got millions. It was just crazy.
Sex
what
and
they were,
drugs and
yeah,
money.
Yeah, what they were paying bands who'd done nothing. They were just backing up trucks of cash to them. I mean, it was just, there was so much money to be had back then.
Olivia Wilde will play Bobby Cannavale's wife on the show, which could be out by this fall or winter. Could be that soon. But Scorsese behind a project like this just seems just
great.
Goodfellas with music, you know? It just sounds
like
a great, great.
Sounds
idea.
Like a lot of fun.
Looking forward to it. And speaking of Beatles, Kevin, you'll be happy to know a brand new Beatles project is in the works.
All right.
Now, say what you want. I know you're not a fan. Inexplicably, you don't like the Beatles. However, this is a little bit of genius. Sony, ATV Music Publishing, that owns the rights to the Beatles catalog.
Right.
Which still just baffles me that Paul McCartney doesn't own his own music.
That is weird.
It's very strange. They are doing a new animated TV series for toddlers, kids my Olivia's age, called The Beat Bugs, about a group of young insects that live and learn in a magical backyard world, and all the music in The Beat Bugs is going to be Beatles songs. Now, you may say, well, do we really need to hear Beatles songs anymore? How genius is it of Sony to perpetuate the appetite for Beatles records and sales by indoctrinating an entirely new generation who may not know the Beatles music by teaching them those songs?
That's pretty
in
smart.
Toddlerhood.
That's pretty smart.
It's the drug pusher mentality.
It is.
You're creating the appetite for your own product with kids.
That's pretty smart.
You know, it's really interesting because almost every generation since the Beatles, eventually those kids get into the Beatles. And,
right.
You know, usually they're 10 or 11 or 12 or something right. like that. Now it sounds like
they'll be four.
Now they'll be four, exactly. Yeah, they're just starting them earlier.
Perfect. You're going, yeah. Rubbing their hands together over at Sony ATV as we speak. Today's celebrity birthdays, Sif from the Thor movies. Jamie Alexander's 30 years old today. She does a lot of children's hospital work, too. She'll show up in costume and sit with the kids and hand out signed autograph posters and poses for pictures. Seems like a great lady. 30 years old today. Actor Sam Levine, one of my favorites. You may remember him from Freaks and Geeks. But he's a very talented actor.
He's the tiny one, right?
He was the little one on that show.
Yeah.
He's grown considerably since. Well, considerably. Solid. He's 32 years old. Graham Coxon of Blur is 45. Aaron Eckhart is 46 years old today. Ron Jeremy, the hedgehog himself, turned 61. James Taylor is 66. Someone tweeted me, we're just hearing your James Taylor impression now?
Or even hiding that.
To which I responded, yeah, not a lot of call for breaking out sweet baby James here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's not like I've been holding anything back from you. When the hell would I ever use it?
I feel like we've heard it too much.
He's like, what are we doing? Saying James Taylor sings the hits. Never. That's never going to happen. Stop it.
I would like to hear that. No,
we're not going to do that. It's dumb. No one
I would
cares.
Like to hear James Taylor doing Killing in the Name of,
guys,
please.
Guys, act like I've held back the biggest celebrity in the world impression that I do. I've
just been
done
waiting
this
until
show.
Now to unleash
what?
It.
Who knew you did James Taylor? Why'd you do more of that? Because no one knows who he is or cares. And Liza Minnelli, singer-actress icon.
Blue. Or is it an impersonator's birthday? Yeah. Do you ever think about that? It's some dude who's impersonating Liza Minnelli.
Good question, Ellen. Liza Minnelli's 68 years old today. She's kind of a rough 68, isn't
yeah.
she?
She's been a rough...
She's beat up a little yeah. bit, yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, everybody. I'm Doug Benson. Welcome to Getting Doug with High. And my guest today is Jenny Slate, everybody.
Hello,
Jenny
Internet.
Jenny Slate is here.
That's cool.
We sent a car for you.
Yeah.
Because the plan is that we are going to get high
yeah.
live on the Internet.
And that's a great plan.
That's a fantastic plan. Doug Benson joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show from the podcast Getting Doug with High and all the other fine podcasts that Doug does. Doug, I have to be honest. When you first came in and pitched the idea, told us that you were doing your little thing that you do, I thought, well, you'll get a guest. Maybe you'll get two guests, and then you're going to run out of steam. But this thing is just getting bigger and
They're
better.
They're not
using
steam, Bean.
I understand. But what I'm saying is I'm so surprised how many people are coming forward to be on your thing.
Yeah, we've been pretty lucky so far. Some weeks we have to just break down and, a pot-smoking buddy of mine will come on, a comic that may not be too familiar with the audience. But we've been getting some great ones, too.
And I've noticed how many of them are late, and I think that's hilarious that you it's hard to believe that somebody showing up to smoke pot would not be on time, but you're sitting there sometimes going, well, the guest isn't here yet, but let's talk about something else.
Yeah, that's happened twice out of like 20 shows so far, and other times it's been cut really close, and it's because I didn't really think through the idea of doing a show at 4:15 in the afternoon in Culver City.
Yes,
I didn't really think about the traffic issue. Issues.
Yeah.
Like last week, Matt Walsh lives in Toluca Lake, so they picked him up in Toluca Lake at like 3 o'clock. So that was he wasn't going to be there by 4:15.
He was funny though, and I have seen him, of course, on Veep and other shows, and he's very funny as an actor. But I didn't know what a good personality he had, and it really came out in your episode. That was a lot of fun. Doug has been very busy since the last time we saw him. In fact, you just got off the Parahoy cruise, right?
Yeah, I did. And
What's with you in cruises? Didn't you also do the 311 cruise?
Here's my cruise history now. 2 311s, 2 Weezers, and 1 Paramore.
Why do you think you're the cruise guy?
because, you could just get away with stuff when you're in international waters. I don't know why it just sort of happened with 311, and I love the experience so much because it's a, it's a rock festival. It's a weenie roast. It's what, but you're all in the same boat, you know,
like so to speak.
Yeah,
no, literally. Sorry.
And, yeah, absolutely. And but they don't like the word boat. It's a ship, I guess. But I just ran around the whole time screaming, "I'm the captain now!" And it was a super fun experience last night. Night before last, I got back yesterday. In the casino, I got to sit and play blackjack with Tegan and Sarah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. How about that?
That's weird.
Yeah.
And they're they were like Everyone Is Awesome. That's them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They were the co-headliners with, or not co-headliner, but the next billed band after Paramore. And Paramore was super cool, too. That guy, Jeremy from Paramore, he enjoys putting an apple up to his mouth and smoking out
sure.
of it.
Okay. And,
sure. So we did a lot of that. And, yeah, it was just, I just love the Rock Cruises because it's, you know, you get to see a bunch of bands, some that I wasn't familiar with, and you know, I always come away with new rock and roll friends because you know how it is. Every comedian wants to be in a band, and everybody sure. in a band wants to be a comedian.
Yeah, true.
So it was a real bonding experience out of the ocean.
How long do you go out for, like on the Paramore cruise? How long are you out there, and how many people are on the boat?
That was a 4-nighter and about 2,300 people.
Wow.
Bought tickets for that. Yeah, or bought cabins. And a lot of, there was a lot of father-daughter and mother-daughter action to be had on
in
that
your cabin?
Cruise. Yeah,
wait,
in my
hold
cabin.
On. What do you mean, to be had?
Well, I mean, they were just there.
Okay.
I didn't actually partake, but
okay.
But there was a lot of teenage girls and that convinced their dad or mom to take them on this cruise.
Wow.
Yeah. And
you think the dad and mom had an argument in the other room, like, you go, I don't want to go.
Yeah, it was definitely
right,
Drew Strauss.
Paper, scissors.
Yeah, exactly. They Rochambeau'd it. And yeah, so it's an interesting experience. The other rock cruises tend to just be more young fans of the band. This was like a new level of interesting that there was all these.
Do you get the stink eye from any of the parents if they were there?
The opposite. The parents were
really?
Delighted to hear to hear my swearing, you know, my filthy jokes. And then they had a thing called karaoke on the boat where the fans got up and sang Paramore songs.
Right.
And this one 14-year-old girl belted out one of their songs. Like, her voice was almost as good as Haley's.
Almost.
And almost. So, and she was there with her dad, and she had dragged him there. And so I had her come out at the end of one of my shows and sing the song
oh,
again.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and also, you know, a little creepy because she is 14 years old. So I was like, smoke weed, everybody, and now here's Taylor with Still Into You.
I don't know what it was like for you, Doug, but my parents were nowhere near cool enough to take me on a rock and roll cruise
no.
ship when I was 14 years old. That's amazing.
It's true. It's a really, they were really cool parents. You know, who also it's just a funny dynamic because I'd look and I'd see like a dad sitting on a lounge chair reading a book, and 2 feet away is his daughter jumping up and down screaming
right.
about Paramore. You know, it was really
he's got earplugs in that you can't see.
Yeah, and, well, you know, that's the great thing about music on the, you know, they do a lot of the shows on the pool deck, so even if it's really loud, it's, you know, it's all open spaces, so it's not too hard on the ears.
What's it like for the band Paramore in your experience from what you saw on the boat with their rabid fans? I mean, you got to be a pretty crazy Paramore fan to commit four nights to the band. I mean, did they just get mobbed everywhere they went, or is it because you know you're on a boat and they can't run away? Everybody's kind of mellow and respectful.
They send out a thing to everybody saying, please don't, if you see the band walking around, try to be cool to them, which,
right.
you know, that's one thing to say it. So they also have security.
Sure.
You know, they're surrounded by security every time they go into a public area. But it's just such a Paramore, Tegan and Sarah, every band, they just, every time they were on stage, they kept talking about, I can't believe we're performing on a boat. And that, and then I look into the audience and it's fans that I recognize from shows all over the
oh,
world.
Oh, wow.
You know, because they just come from everywhere. I mean, as a fan experience goes, if you're like a fan of the band that's headlining the cruise, it's amazing.
It's the best
thing. And if you're not a fan, it's better than a regular cruise because there's rock bands playing all over the boat day and night.
And you can occasionally smell a little weed.
Yeah, and you don't hear like steel drums playing hot, right. hot, hot. You know, none of that baloney.
You must be very popular with the ladies on a cruise. I imagine you're famous enough now that it would be, you know, it'd be a notch in their bedpost to get a hold of a little Doug Benson, right?
I guess so.
We need to take a break.
What a sad notch.
We'll come back and answer that question in just a second on the World Famous Gay Rock.
Doug Benson in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You've heard us talking about his very popular Getting Doug with High. You can see that on stage live at the Largo coming up on Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. Now, Doug, it says here you're going to have five special surprise guests that'll be getting Doug live. Is that happening?
Yeah, that's the idea. We've done it twice at Largo over on La Cienega where I get five you know, comedians generally, but, you know, anybody that we can get that's got some notoriety, but five people on stage with me. Mm-hmm. So, and then the whole audience just basically pays to watch six people get high.
Okay. What's wrong with that?
For about 90 minutes.
Now, let me ask you this, Doug, because you're a very high-functioning weed smoker.
So to speak, yes.
Very high function. You get places on time. I've seen you backstage before a show, and I just go, if I was that high right now, I would pass out. And then you walk out on stage and do your act.
I know.
Does it drive you crazy when people are not anywhere near your level of being able to handle the weed?
Oh, no, I don't mind it at all. Especially with the Getting Doug with High show, it's really fun to watch people, you know, kind of get, you know, extra paranoid or zone out and just start staring into space. And
you find that funny?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's funny, but it's also like if you watch every episode of the show, I would hope that you would anyone that's against marijuana would kind of get that, like, over the course of it, nothing bad happens.
Right.
You know? Some silly things happen, but nothing bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And that's the thing to me, is just making it more accepted.
Are you ever too baked to perform?
I've had like a couple instances where I was in my head too much, thinking, you know, oh yeah, this is too high for where I am right now and what I'm doing right now. But it's pretty rare.
Pretty rare.
Pretty rare. I'm pretty used to it.
I remember being at the Playboy Mansion, and Snoop Dogg was there,
uh-huh.
And he was in the grotto, the pool,
yes,
and
sure.
a bunch of women were going topless and were walking up to him, and he was high and just staring at the ceiling, and he had no idea that there were so many hot chicks around him topless. And I just looked at him and I said, that's too high. I don't ever want to be that high.
I think so. Yeah, I wouldn't want to miss that.
Right.
I would want to notice the topless ladies.
I didn't see the episode. I'm going to go back and watch it. But you had the great Tommy Chong on from Cheech and Chong.
Mm-hmm.
Did you learn anything special from him, from a guy? I mean, he is the gold standard for getting high.
Several news agencies picked it up when he said it on my show. He did 9 months time.
Yeah,
in
for
a,
selling bogs, right?
But you know, in a minimum security,
right.
One of the fancy prisons.
He said he loved it. He was a hero.
He had a great. He says he'd do it again. And his roommate, his cellmate, was Jordan Belfort, and Tommy Chong talked him into writing the book that became Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Tommy Chong was like, you're in prison. Why aren't you writing a book, man? You know? I'm writing a book, man. And so Jordan Belfort wrote a book also. And Tommy gave him notes on it. And was like, you got to be more honest, man. That's why the book is just, you know, nonstop cocaine
and
sex.
That's the character that Leonardo DiCaprio plays in The Wolf of Wall Street. That's
yeah,
amazing.
And that shows you how horrible the justice system is. that guy going to prison only made him worthy of Leonardo DiCaprio depicting his life on
so
film.
Is Tommy not angry with how he got railroaded into prison? Because I would think that you would always resent that 9 months that they took you off the streets.
Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, like I said, he feels like he did it for the overall cause, because it was so silly that they, you know, they basically trapped him by ordering one of his Tommy Chong bongs from a state where you're not allowed you know.
But no weed, just the bong.
Just a plastic bong with his face on it.
Right.
Like a kind of a novelty item. It's not even a great bong. No offense, Tommy, if you're listening. But, you know, yeah, it was ridiculous, but it was basically, They were, you know, it was his son's company that was making him, so they were going to throw the book at his son. So he threw himself on that.
Well, we love that guy. We've had Tommy on the show a bunch of times over the years, and he's just a super fun guy to hang out with.
Yeah, knows so much. Such a smart guy.
Yep.
Knows so much, despite all the weed smoking. And it was great having him on the show. Your friend Kevin Smith has agreed to to come in soon. And
he enjoys the occasional or daily use.
Yeah, so we'll sit down and have a chat where I probably don't say much.
Yeah, I was going to say, you better set aside 4 hours for
for that one if we know Kevin.
Corolla wants to do it, too. I'm thinking about just letting him do it solo. I just won't even show up.
Yeah.
He can just get high and have rage.
Hey, let's talk about April Foolishness real quick because we haven't mentioned this. Doug Benson is in studio, and we mentioned you can see him on stage at the Largo on the 18th. Tickets available through largo-la.com, just $30. You also have another one of your movie interruptions coming up on the 20th at cinefamily.org. Those are always a lot of fun. But you've been kind enough to come back and do Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness again. And I think this is going to be, what, your third appearance on the Foolishness, I think?
Yeah, third time in 4 years. The 1 year I didn't do it, I came and watched. Because you had Tim Minchin on that year, and I had never seen him live, and that was amazing. So I'm really excited to see him again.
It's crazy what he's been able to do with his talent and the piano and how he works comedy into it.
Yeah, well, you know,
really unique.
You know, I'm a Broadway show fan, right? Have we talked about that?
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, and sure. The show that he wrote the music and lyrics for, Matilda, is really good. Like, even though it's about a cute little girl, it's a really amazing
show.
He's
a talented guy.
Yeah, really good.
Well, we always try to get a mix of, some of our friends that we've had before, like you and Tim Minchin is back, and Eddie Ift is back, and Patton Oswalt, we're so excited about, and Jim Jeffries, of course. But we also try to include, a couple people who haven't done the show before. Taylor Williamson, I don't know if you're a fan of his or not, Doug, but
we
love
Taylor.
Yeah, I know
Taylor. He's a nut.
He's great. Mark Maron is on the bill. We've never had Mark before. We love him. We're super excited to have him back, too. And, of course, Adam Carolla as well. So, I mean, it is a great lineup.
No insecurity or anger backstage with that bunch at all.
Probably
the sweetest group of guys you could ever meet.
Tickets are going on sale Friday at noon through Ticketmaster.com, by the way, and it will definitely sell out, and the show is going to be on April the 5th at the Shrine. Is that a weird thing to think about doing comedy on stage at the Shrine, Doug?
I'm excited about it because, they used to do the Academy Awards there a lot.
That's true.
And they also still do the Emmys there, I think. And so just to be able to go out on that stage and tell my jokes.
Are you going to come out in a gown? In a beautiful, beautiful long gown?
No, I'll wear a manly tux like Ellen DeGeneres.
Doug, why don't you stick around? Because we got Corolla calling in next. He's he's the guy who's being sued on behalf of all of podcasting. Guys like you are going to be affected.
Yeah, he's really stepping up.
He's stepping up against the patent trolls, and Adam's going to call him. We're going to talk about the next. Will you stay with us?
I'd love to.
All right. We'll be right back with Adam and Doug Benson here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:39.
Our friend Doug Benson in studio with us now, very popular podcaster, but you're in the shadows of a guy like Adam Carolla, right, Doug?
Yes.
he's your king. He's king of the podcasters, right?
Yeah, he really is. The top dog.
If you have a beef with somebody, do you take it to Adam and then he rules and then everybody else just puts it into place?
If I knew how to get a hold of Adam, yes.
Adam is on the line. Usually we do This Week in Rage at this time on the Kevin and Bean Show, but this week Adam is going to be raging against patent trolls, and we're going to be talking about, among other things, the live appearance that Kevin and Bean are doing next Thursday night, 1 week from tomorrow night, with Adam Carolla, with special guest Mark Maron, with special guest Jimmy Kimmel, and it's going to be at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center at 8 o'clock. Tickets are available at adamcarolla.com. Adam, what are we all going to be doing together that night, and why?
We're going to be raising money and raising awareness to try to stomp out these patent trolls.
What is a patent troll?
Well, they're like the definition of the man, like in those political campaigns where they have the fat white guy smoking a cigar and dumping oil into a river while Indians cry.
Right.
They're that guy. They buy up patents. They don't invent anything. They buy other people's patents, and then they sit around with their groups of attorneys and figure out who it applies to, no matter how loosely. And in this case, Doug, I don't know if you even know this, it's a sequencer. It's basically just their patent is not for podcasting, it's for playlists.
What does that mean? So if you put out the list of who's on your show?
Yeah, it's like if Doug Loves Movies comes out on a Tuesday and another one comes out on a Thursday, and it's listed up on iTunes in that order, that's their patent.
What? How is that anyone's patent?
I'd be happy to stop listing it.
Now, Doug, did you get a letter? I know Adam got sued. He's he's the face of this lawsuit. But did you, along with other podcasters, get a letter trying to shake you down for money for this thing?
I think the guys that produce my podcast, because they do two or three other ones, I think they may have gotten that letter. But like when they, I was telling him during the break, Adam, that when I heard about this, I was like, oh, Adam will take care of this.
Yeah, I will. The problem is these guys, they set up an office in Beaumont, Texas, because it's a friendly place to sue people. So that's number one. They're out of Manhattan. Obviously, we're in Los Angeles. We spent $50,000 trying to get the venue changed.
Oh, my gosh.
Just trying to get it out of Beaumont into Los Angeles, where my business is. By the way, for that money, I want it in my goddamn living room.
Right.
Like, I want to come out in my bathrobe, walk past the judge, pour some coffee. How's it going? You guys got started pretty early today. I'm going to be masturbating in the shower.
Now, wait. Did it get moved?
No, not yet.
So you spent $50,000 and it still hasn't been moved.
We're still arguing over that. So what we're doing is we're crowdfunding the legal defense, which is going to be $1 million plus. Everyone says it's the most expensive. I don't know why it's the most expensive. It's just the most expensive.
Wow.
So we're getting all the podcasting community together. Everyone's reaching out to their audience. All the money's going into this fund anything account. We're going to beat these guys, and then they'll not come back, because once we beat them, that'll be it for podcasting and them. On the other hand, if we lose or we fold over and pay out, which is what they always want you to do, then I think they're going to come after everyone. I mean, I know Mark Maron's gotten a letter from these guys. I know Doug's people have gotten a letter from these guys, and I think they've sent a lot of letters out, just kind of testing the waters. But again, if we lose, I think everyone's getting sued.
What Adam is saying is absolutely accurate, because we've been in situations where the company just goes, you know what, cheaper to settle.
Yep.
Not admit guilt, but settle, and just they'll go away. But once you start doing that, they keep coming back and coming back and coming back for more. It's just a horrible way to do things.
Yeah, but normally they know that the hassle, the money, and the time of litigating these things far outweighs the come on and just settle up and we'll go away.
Right.
And if they can get everyone to settle up times 1,000 podcasts, that's a pretty good haul. But we figure, let's just turn it into a cause. Let's just rally all the troops. I've talked to everyone else in the podcast community. They're into it. We'll just raise a bunch of money and we'll just fight them.
Let me ask you this, Adam, if you can answer it without being too technical. What is your defense going to be that you're not using their patent to sequence your podcasts on the internet?
I don't know. I haven't even gotten that far, because it feels so insane to me. My defense would be, if we're guilty of this, then the internet must shut down tomorrow, or you guys own it, because I don't know anything that's on iTunes or YouTube or whatever that does not.
They list albums, they list songs, they list singles, they list videos, they list everything.
Right. So, you know, it's basically, the defense essentially is how have we ripped you off? What money have you lost from this? And, you know, why can't your kids go to a good college? But the reality is I don't even know exactly. Everyone who sees the suit goes, oh, this is insane. They'll never win.
Right.
They'll never win $1.5 million later of court costs. They'll never win, and they hope it doesn't get that far. They hope we just settle up. So I haven't even thought about the part where they're going to win. They're not going to win. The part is, can we raise enough money to beat them?
Now, do you think you're just going to buy a place down in Beaumont when you're down there for the trial for 6 months? Or are you just going to stay in a hotel?
Well, you know, my wife's always been begging me to, you know, get a little place in Beaumont so we can get away.
We should shove it in their faces and do a show somewhere in Beaumont.
Ooh.
I like it.
That would be awesome. Yeah, well, we're going to do the one out here on the 27th. We should do one out there. And, you know, we've got over $100,000 raised thus far, so it's been going, the campaign's been going pretty good, and it's just, it's a cool, it's like we're being cyber-bullied by a new form of technology. Like, patent trolls didn't exist 10 years ago.
Right.
Podcast didn't exist 10 years ago. And they figured out how long was the man. I say this all the time. Like, people are like, are you surprised? I'm like, no, I'm surprised it's taken this long. How long is Rich Whitey, lawyer, going to sit around and watch people do things and money change hands without them getting involved?
Interesting.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing about the internet. The government's sort of that way, too. How long are the beak-wetters, the guys who never bring anything to the party but get in between two parties and goes, hey, where's my cut? How long are they going to sit around and watch this thing called the internet generate this kind of money without going, hold on, I got an idea? Because there is a segment of our society that really does nothing. They're the richest segment of our society. They just get in between people and go, give us some money. And how long are they going to sit back and let podcasting just sort of run free?
Well, that's a great point, Adam. And let me give out the information again for folks who want to help the fight for Adam Carolla, Doug Benson, and everybody else who's doing a podcast that you enjoy. You should go to fundanything.com/patent troll. You can get more information. You can donate, even if it's only a couple of bucks. That will go to the defense of Adam Carolla and this case. And don't forget, next Thursday night, 1 week from tomorrow night at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center, you're going to be taping a live podcast with Kevin and Bean, with Jimmy Kimmel, with Mark Maron. Did I also see on the flyer that Andy Summers from The Police is going to be there too, Adam?
Yes, he will be playing as well. And I think it's 2 weeks from tomorrow night, but I may be mistaken.
Okay, 2 weeks from tomorrow night. March 27th is the date. So Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. Again, you can get tickets and information at adamcarolla.com. Ace Man, we are behind you. You know we're happy to be there, happy to support you. Doug, come on down. We'd love to have you, too.
Oh, that'd be great. And yeah, thank you, Adam, for doing this.
Hey, listen, thank you guys for helping me do it.
Thanks, everyone, for everything.
Let's
all hold hands. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:58.
Our friend Harley from Epic Mealtime is in the next room. I hope he brought something that's at least 50,000 calories that we can eat while he's in here with us. Did he? Do you know?
He's got a really cool phone.
Okay.
We could eat that.
Not, maybe you can
not
eat
what
that.
I was looking for.
How many calories that has.
All right. We love Harvey. Harley, whatever his name is, he'll be joining us.
We do love Harvey.
Oh, we love Harvey.
Very excited.
Harvey's a funny guy.
How do you make the guests feel special? By Bean, his new book.
First, though, here's Rafe. Here's Rafe with the Showbiz Beat.
Pick it up while it's still in stores. Speaking of special people, I do want to mention that Jim Jeffries, one of our friends who, of course, is participating in this year's April Foolishness that will happen on Saturday, April the 5th at the Shrine Auditorium. Tickets go on sale Friday at noon. He is also performing at Club Nokia on March the 29th. Tickets are available now at AXS.com. If you want to see Jeffries at the Club Nokia, you should take advantage of that because he's one of the funniest stand-ups working today.
And that's a full Jim Jeffries show right there.
Yeah, that's all Jim all the time right there. You get a big hunk of Jim. You just get a little taste of Jim at our show, but you get a full mouthful of Jim at Club Nokia.
I'm uncomfortable with this.
I know you are. Of course you are. I just want to give you a heads up that that's happening. All right, let's take a look at showbiz news. Boy, this Kiss doesn't seem like a happy band of fellas.
No, they don't.
This group doesn't seem like they get along all that well. Even the ones that like each other don't like each other. Paul Stanley, the only one of two remaining original members of KISS that are still performing together and talking to each other.
Right.
Now they may have a beef.
Really? Now what?
Well, Paul Stanley is releasing his autobiography, Face the Music, A Life Exposed.
See, okay.
Face, because he used to wear makeup,
sure.
And then Exposed, because
he's
behind
now
the makeup.
Right.
It comes out on April the 8th, and he's got nothing but good things to say about everyone else's autobiographies from the band.
Oh, good.
Nothing but good things. Good. 95% of the autobiographies by any of my contemporaries would be better suited on a roll of soft paper, so at least you could use it for something, he said regarding the other memoirs.
Why?
He specifically knocked the memoirs of his current and former bandmates, like Gene Simmons. Gene Simmons' book would make you believe he's the only person in the world, and most of it is not accurate.
And that's his best friend,
that's
by the way.
That's his best friend. As for the memoirs of Peter Criss and Ace Frehley, the other two original members of the band KISS?
Right.
There's a reason that defense attorneys don't put alcoholics or drug addicts on a witness stand.
Wow.
Can't wait till they all hug on the stage at the...
that is going to be sweet.
It's not going to be frosty at all.
At the Hall of Fame induction. I bet there's going to be a lot of kissing. No pun intended, between those guys.
It's just going to be Gene, isn't it?
Yep.
By himself.
I did this all myself. No one else participated. Thank you very much for this award.
This is not. This is a huge Hollywood story. No one knows about it. No one cares about it. But it's huge.
Okay.
Ann Sweeney is this woman's name. You don't know her, probably, because she's not a celebrity. She's not a star of a TV show or a movie. But she was a huge power player in Hollywood. She was the president of Disney and ABC TV.
Wow.
Quit her job yesterday. After 18 years. To become a movie director.
Really?
That's what she really wants to do. At the age of 56, she said, enough.
How about that?
I want to start the next act of my life, she said. No word on who will be Sweeney's successor. She's leaving the company at the end of the year. But she has said, I did this, I made my money, I made my bones, but what I really have always wanted to do is direct, and now I'm going to go do that with the rest of my life. Whatever time I have left, I'm going to do what I love. I am so impressed by that move.
Yeah, because by the time you get to 56, you're locked in, and you just ride it out because you don't want big change. You're afraid
right.
of it. You're
and
afraid of it.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure as the president of a major network and studio that she has a ton of FU money, and she can probably afford to do whatever she likes. But regardless of that, the emotional toll it takes to scrap your life and start over from scratch, as far as I know, she has no...
It's impressive.
Resume as a director to ensure immediate success on her part. She might have to start making small films or independent films or whatever she's going to be doing. But the balls, the sheer guts it takes to make that move, I have nothing but admiration for her. That is remarkable.
That's pretty cool.
So it was a big deal yesterday. A lot of people in the industry were talking about it, even though it didn't get a lot of coverage because, like I mentioned, she's not a celebrity. I was really impressed by that. And I thought, good on you, Ann Sweeney.
It would be like you turning your back on radio at this point to draw Batman 66 comic books, Ralph.
Well, see, I'm blessed because I don't have to. I can do it all at the same time because, you know, only working till 10 a.m. gives me the rest of the day to do other stuff that I like to do. So I don't have to make that decision. But that would be a tough decision. Imagine leaving this show to go do something else would be difficult for me.
Yeah, sure.
But she doesn't have to worry about that.
Plus, you'd miss the hell out of us.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, that goes without saying. The paycheck be damned. The reason I come in every morning is just to hang out with my buddies.
Right. Thank you.
Like beer mug and beer.
All your favorite people.
All my favorite people. We all get together, get in a prayer circle beforehand, and share recipes.
It's the camaraderie. Just,
it is like a big clubhouse here.
It's really more family than it is work.
That's what I've always said. I said, these people aren't my friends. They're my family.
Thank you.
I just say the first half of that statement, but the second half is implied. I usually say, these people aren't my friends. But what's implied is dot, dot, dot after that, they're my family.
Ah,
that part doesn't get said at all.
Ever, right. We're reading between the lines
but
on that
that's
part.
What the rest of the statement is.
I see. Okay.
If you know
right.
things
right.
about things.
Right.
Here's another big career move. Tom Bergeron, of course, host of Dancing with the Stars. Says he's going to continue with that job. However, he is stepping down as host of America's Funniest Home Videos.
That's still a thing?
No word on who will take over for that. But I had no idea that show was still on the
air. I didn't either. Not at all.
If you put a gun to my head and said, that right now, is it on the air or not? I would be, pull the trigger.
That's shocking.
Who knew?
America's Funniest Home Videos.
Where? If it's airing, where is it airing? It's not airing on ABC still, right?
I don't have any idea.
I don't see any commercials for
maybe
it,
like
that's for sure.
ABC Family
it's on
or one
OWN,
of their...
right? It's on the OWN network.
Yeah, maybe one of the smaller networks.
That's follows weird. Lindsay on OWN.
That's awesome.
But I can't imagine. I was stunned. President of the America's Funniest Home Video Fan Club said, just let it go. They're tired of that show. Just let it go. Look at this. It's already 9:05.
Yeah, we're late.
I'm
Sunday nights at 7 on ABC, Ralph.
Shut the front door.
Sunday nights at 7 on the ABC
network.
Are you kidding me?
That is a lie, a bald-faced lie, sir.
I hate to tell you, but it's true. I didn't know it either.
That's what I'm watching Talking Dead.
It's at 8 o'clock, right?
7.
7 o'clock. 7. Yeah.
What Dean just said, 7.
That's either Walking Dead Sentinels. Or Talking Dead. I don't remember which, but.
You don't know what you're doing.
I don't have any idea.
Today's celebrity birthday is Jamie Alexander. You know her as Sif from Asgard. I'd like to guard her ass. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, Ralph.
I'd like
I do.
To pull out my hammer of Thor.
Right.
Yeah.
I get that.
That's what I'd like to do.
Yep.
Yep.
She's 30 years old today. Actor Sam Levine, one of my favorites. Good guy. Nice man. 32 years old today. Graham Coxon of Blur is 45 years old today. Aaron Eckhart is 46. Porn star Ron Jeremy is 61. Still working, I believe. Still making the movies. Still appearing. Wow. The Hedgehog's still hard at work.
See what you did?
James Taylor, 66 years old today. Sadly, we don't have time for my James Taylor impression.
That is a shame.
The kids are asking for. Business lines ringing off.
Sure.
Hook. And singer, actress, icon, Oscar winner, Liza Minnelli. I think she may have an EGOT. No, maybe she's not an EGOT winner.
I don't think she has any idea.
I don't think so. Yeah, I think she's close. But
68 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Daniel Kenworthy from Santa Clarita. Just got tickets for 3-day passes for Coachella. We do that at 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. every day until the festival.
You're done?
Yep.
Okay.
Let's eat. Come on, Harley. What'd you bring us? You got brought some food, I hope, right?
I brought you nothing. I did have something phenomenal, but we ate in the back after I heard you call me Harvey.
He did call you Harvey.
Darn it. Yeah, that happened. Yeah,
Harley awesome. Is here from Epic Mealtime, which is a phenomenal show. And how many episodes did you say you've done, Harley?
We have 270 videos on the channel right now. Epic Mealtime hasn't missed a Tuesday in almost 4 years now, or over 4 years.
That's unbelievable.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. You have no idea how crazy it is.
You have got to be close to running out of meals to make, right?
No, because, you know, food...
You never have a time where you go, I don't know, just we sounded like we did that one before.
Oh, yeah, that happens all the time.
It does. Okay.
That happened in, like, we were like, oh, cheeseburger pizza. And we said, like, we did that already. No, we did pizza cheeseburger. This is cheeseburger pizza.
Okay.
And we even had a joke in the video where it was like, if you think pizza cheeseburger and cheeseburger pizza are the exact same thing, then you should just ask the boy that wanted Batman at his birthday party and got Man Bat instead. And we get to the block where we're like, what are we gonna cook? And then we stop and we think, because, you know, food's like fashion, it just evolves. Yeah. It doesn't really disappear or anything, so there's always stuff to cook and always different ways to do it. And somehow we always end up just wrapping something in bacon and deep frying it.
Well, that's the key. Bacon is usually involved.
Yeah.
Well, we were very excited when we saw the video posted last week of you and Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, who made a sandwich that was 78,583 calories. And Lisa, listen to this, 4,172 grams of fat. And they cooked the sandwich on Arnold Schwarzenegger's tank. We have so many questions.
Sounds like we're playing Mad Libs.
It does. How, first of all, is this, you cook it on a tank because it was a real hot day outside and it was just hot enough? It was just like being on a grill?
You know, we cooked on the tank because Arnold Schwarzenegger told us to.
He said, let's cook it on the tank.
It's really like, it came down to Arnold Schwarzenegger wanted to cook on the tank and he wanted ostrich eggs.
Okay. Why does Arnold Schwarzenegger own a tank?
It's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's a good answer.
My question, if he didn't own one, would be like, why doesn't Arnold Schwarzenegger own a tank?
But now, where did you go? Did you go to his parking lot somewhere where he stores his tank?
It was like this studio. So, I mean, he wanted to cook on the tank. He wanted to do an ostrich egg. The tank, if the tank is running for about 5 hours, it gets so hot you could cook an egg on it. And he did. When he was in the Army, they would cook eggs on the tank, for real.
Really?
So we just tried to... capture that. Where we did it was on this set, this like Wild West set, and me and my buddy were like, oh, I'm just gonna go to the washroom while we were cooking and stuff, and I just went to the washroom. We call it washroom in Canada. I'm Canadian.
Sure.
Bathroom is reserved for if there's a bathtub in it.
I see.
But so I walk around the corner and I'm on the set of Deadwood.
Oh my god.
Nice. I got Arnold Schwarzenegger behind me. Like in the tank, and everything was just so strange. I'm like, well, whatever. I better go to the bathroom real quick and, you know, get back to my ostrich egg sandwich over here.
Now,
Arnold Schwarzenegger's hungry.
Did you guys go after him, or somehow did you hear he was a fan of Epic Mealtime, or how did it come together?
So, you know, we have people at the collective. Shout out to my buddy Eric White. He made this happen, and he reached out to Arnold, who was doing something with the After School All Stars with this, you know, fundraising for a charity. So he works with Omaze.com. Now this is pretty valuable information for anyone out there that gives any cares towards Arnold Schwarzenegger or children, that's future people.
Right.
Omaze.com/epic was what we were promoting, and it's you go there and you know maybe spend
$20 on a T-shirt with Arnold Schwarzenegger and the sandwich on it or something like that, and you get 20 tickets or something along those lines to be entered into a lottery, and if you win, you cook an epic meal with us and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, wow.
So they're in the same place
you are, which is what is happening with my life right now.
Yes, exactly. You have a chance to cook with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and all you got to do is, you know, get yourself something at omaze.com/epic, and it supports the After School All-Stars, which is a charity that Arnold is all about. So we went in with that angle. You know, we wanted to help promote
Smart.
It. We could bring it to the internet.
Sweet.
And he was game, and he was, you know, super, super awesome guy. Like, you know, I mean,
how much time do you spend with him? The video is like 4.5 minutes long. How long did that take to make?
We need to take a break.
I'm talking to Harley.
We need
or Harvey, whichever one is here.
His name is Harley, and we'll come right back on K-Rock.
Welcome to the Epic Mealtime online cooking show.
How many grams of protein are in this egg?
Hey, you know how much is in there? 150 grams of protein.
150 grams of protein?
Exactly.
Is that enough?
To pump up your bicep. Let's do it.
Maybe my bicep. I don't know about yours, but let's get this going.
I got some bacon over here. Epic Mealtime online cooking show. Taking it to another level right now. So we got an ostrich egg. We got a whole bunch of bacon. We're making the Arnold steak and egg sandwich today. And we're cooking it on his tank. What more do you want, Internet?
Yeah, what more do you want, Internet?
Good question. That's the voice of Harley Morenstein here. He is the sauce boss himself, host and co-creator of Epic Mealtime on YouTube. And that's the episode, the most recent one, with Arnold Schwarzenegger. So, Harley, you're telling us that he's like your fantasy celebrity to get as a guest on Epic Mealtime. And there you are, nose to nose with the governor. Were you freaking out, or did you think you were pretty cool?
I didn't keep my cool at all.
You looked relatively cool, though, in the video.
Yeah, that's, you know, in the cameras rolling, I gotta make it happen.
Okay.
The cameras are off. I'm like, you did great, man. You did great. Oh, you don't even care to hear that from me. Why would you care? You don't. Anyways, I'm going to go stand over there when you're ready. But like,
Is there small talk with him?
I promise you, I was wearing an Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, I was holding up an Arnold Schwarzenegger T-shirt before I left. I was like, guys, should I wear it there, or is this stupid? What do you think he's going to think? Should I? And everyone's like, he doesn't care. Just do whatever.
It is funny. It is funny, and I know exactly what you're saying. Is you're trying to think about what you might be able to do to impress Arnold Schwarzenegger, who has met millions of fans before and really doesn't care about you, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's not like I want to be cool.
Right.
I don't want him to have to remember me for anything. Just enjoy me at that moment.
At the moment,
and forget about me
time.
After that. And
right.
Like, that's cool,
so
but he was awesome.
You didn't try to turn it into a second date experience? Like, now you guys are friends, and what are we going to do next to hang out together?
Well, I knew we were going to be cooking a second epic meal for the Omaze.
For the charity,
thing.
Right?
And so I knew that was going to happen. So I kind of, with that in my back pocket, I was just like, oh, I just don't need to just not ruin this now. Not
just
do something stupid. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Were you not afraid of the ponytail ruining it?
Oh yeah, that my ponytail.
We're talking to Harley during
it under wraps.
He seems to have a real. He has a ponytail.
Yeah,
seems to have a real problem with it.
Just some self hatred going on.
Yeah, it's that guy. It's a ponytail guy. Who is that guy? I hate him.
You're that guy.
I love me. I hate my ponytail. But if I don't put my hair in a ponytail, it's like this frizz disaster.
You thought of cutting it?
No, because I like when I go out, I like slick it back. I
then
got like
the
a wizard thing
guy.
Going on. I know.
You're the ponytail guy.
What kind of Porsche are you driving now, Harley?
Yeah, exactly, right? That's exactly it.
So Arnold is driving
Sentra.
You in his tank, and you have a ponytail.
And that's all I could think the whole time. I'm like, man, I can't believe I got a ponytail. What is Arnold Schwarzenegger thinking of right now? He's probably looking at me like, oh, ponytail.
You're being driven in a tank by Arnold, and that's acceptable.
I look like a henchman in that's one of his action movies from like 1994 or something. You know what I mean? Like, he probably just wants to beat me up.
Now, I know there's a fair amount of edits. You can see the edits in the thing. So I don't know how long the whole thing took to get put together, but it flies along at like 4 minutes. You're making this sandwich and driving around in a tank with Arnold.
When you say sandwich, by the way, this is like a piece of furniture.
Yeah, it's very heavy.
This is not a sandwich.
Talking about like a 90-pound sandwich.
What did he think of it with all that cheese and with the meat and the bacon and the ostrich eggs and
he
the giant buns and everything like that? Did he love it?
Absolutely. Like the one.
Has
thing
he kept
about
talking
video,
about all the protein he was getting and how it was going to be good for his workout?
Yeah, we had a huge steak patty and he was talking about the protein in it, talking about the protein in the cheese, talking about the protein in the ostrich eggs. You know, like he's.
But isn't he also a stay in shape kind of kid? Stay in shape.
Yeah,
kind of?
But he's also like, you know, I think he's still like, you know, get some gains. You know, you want to get big, eat big. And
okay.
So we
that big.
Fed him the biggest so he could get the biggest. And
Yeah, I mean, he was really excited about the food. Definitely.
What, were you surprised by how small he was compared to how big you thought he would be?
Yes, because you know, I grew up. The first movie I ever saw in theaters was Terminator 2.
So you think he's a monster?
Exactly. You know, I imagine like, you know, like, oh, I'm going to stand next to him and be like John Connor here.
Right.
And, you know.
You're taller than
yeah,
him.
Yeah, much taller. You know, like.
But you have a ponytail, so.
Yeah, that brings me down many notches. And it you does. Know, at the same time, I don't know. I had the beard to make up for the ponytail. They kind of canceled each other out a little
bit.
I'm
not sure.
Yeah.
Well, I know that after 4 years of doing Epic Mealtime and the hundreds of guests that you've had, I know that this was that Arnold was on your wish list, and now he's crossed off. So now let's put out the plea. Who else you need to get? You want to get Bill Murray, right?
Bill Murray.
Good luck.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to be reachable.
Yeah,
who
that's
else?
What I've heard. Maybe that's why I want him so bad.
Yeah,
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell would be so great on Epic Mealtime.
Will Ferrell, if you're listening, you need to go on that show, please.
Is he fellow Canadian? By the way, is Will Ferrell Canadian?
No, I don't think so.
He's not. Okay,
no.
That doesn't help you then. Okay.
No. Justin Bieber.
Oh, I'm sure he listens to our show.
Yeah.
So he'll go on your program, especially now, though, right? Now that he's a full
if
on
you get
dick.
What?
I don't recall. This is a Justin Bieber joke from his thing there yesterday.
No, we got it.
Yeah.
By the way, if you ever get Bieber in the lab and you guys are making an Epic Mealtime, seriously, you got to go Hannibal on him. You need to chop him up and put him in the stew, dude.
Just lay him on the sandwich and put a bun on top.
Do the world a favor, man. It's your shot at it.
No, but I mean, I'm still Canadian, so we're really polite. We're like, I think you should apologize on behalf of Canada.
All right. Well, if any of those people are listening, please get in contact with Harley because he needs you on the Epic Mealtime.
Yeah,
by the way, how does the just under 80,000 calories, the sandwich on this episode, how does that rank in among the biggest meals you've ever made on Epic Mealtime?
Bottom 40%.
Bottom 40%.
Can I also say President Barack Obama would love him on Epic Mealtime?
He just did not two ferns.
Obama and Bieber, same episode.
Slam dunk.
That would break the internet.
Yeah.
Slam dunk.
Absolutely.
All right. President Obama, if you get this message, please go on Epic Mealtime.
Yeah.
What's the most calories you've ever had in a night?
We stuffed 50 birds into 10 pigs and attached them back to front.
You human centipeded them?
We human centipeded them.
Oh.
So there was 10 pigs stuffed with 5 birds each. So that's 50 birds and 10 pigs. Sewn together like a human centipede, garnished with Baconators and wrapped in bacon, and it totaled out to about 900,000 calories. And we had like 30 people come and eat, and I still had a soup kitchen come and grab like the last 80% of it. We ate like 2 pigs and everyone's full and there's like 8 left. And I was like, well, that was cool for the show, but
now
but, you know, the soup kitchen came and they were really ruthless about it. I loved it. They came in and they grabbed like everything. Like everything that wasn't contaminated, they like just packed into bags. Like it's crazy. They left like my dinner with 7 bags of food.
Wow.
You know, the leftovers.
Yeah, you but may have overcooked that day.
If you want to learn how to make that, you can go to epicmealtime.com. Get a cookbook.
And you should.
Get a cookbook.
We
got a brand new cookbook published. I don't know how to cook.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm the author of a cookbook.
You wrap stuff in bacon and deep fry it. That's how you do everything.
Yeah.
Right?
So I basically give you those steps and I talk about me for the rest of the book.
All right.
Go to epicmealtime.com and don't forget, if you want to make an epic meal with Harley and Arnold benefiting the After School All-Stars, you can do that at omaze.com. Omaze.com is where you go. And that's OMAZE. / epic. Sure, why not? Hey, Harley, great to see you again, man. Congratulations
so
on the continued success of the show. We'll see you again soon.
Thank you very much.
I'm in Jamaica.
Jesus. Tone down the steel drums, guys.
Yeah.
Yesterday was Bobby McFerrin's birthday. What are you doing?
Welcome to Sandals Resort, man.
That's Imagine Dragons.
Everybody gets beads.
That's Imagine Dragons.
You
right
pay
there.
For your drink with beads, man.
That was just weird. All right, Ralph Garman joins us now. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
Let me give you something for listening to me.
All right.
I love it when you listen to me. I know it's hard, so I want to make it worth your while.
Well, you got to wade through all that Kevin and Bean to get to some Ralph Garman gold.
Nah, it's not easy listening to me either. So let me reward you with a pair of tickets to a very special event that's going to be held by the Paley Center, one of my favorite
organizations. They, of course, were formerly the Museum of Television and Radio, now the Paley Center for Media. They do this amazing event each and every year called Paley Fest. It's March 13th through the 28th, and what they do is they bring out the casts and creative teams of some of your favorite TV shows, past and present, and you get to spend an evening with them, and it's a Q&A, and you get to hear their stories, and if you're a TV fan, especially one particular show, it really is a great evening. It's happening at the Dolby Theater at Hollywood and Highland. Great event in a great place. Tickets are available at thepaleycenter.org. You can get more information and tickets there if they're still available. A lot of these events are sold out. I would like to give you tickets right now if you're a fan of the television program Pretty Little Liars.
Yay!
Oh, I love that show. Dave loves Pretty Little Liars. I've got tickets for one lucky winner. We'll get a pair of tickets to spend the evening with the cast and creators of Pretty Little Liars. I'd like to spend the evening with the Pretty Little Liars cast. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a good-looking cast.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
we I don't do. Think you understand
we
what I'm
know
saying.
Exactly.
How can you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking so funny. You don't understand this. Call me now, 1-800-520-1067. You can get your tickets to spend the evening with the Pretty Little Liars gang. Speaking of spending the evening with a celebrity, this is fascinating. From The Hollywood Reporter. A lot of celebrities apparently are using Tinder.
Is that right?
Tinder.
That's a little surprising.
Tinder is the dating app, and by dating, I mean boning app.
A hooking up app.
A lot of people use to meet other folks in their vicinity for a little woohoo.
It was apparently quite the thing at the Olympics.
Yes, they were saying, hey, cut it out. Do some sports. So many celebrities are using it that the CEO of Tinder is saying celebrities will soon have to, first of all, bypass the Tinder's Facebook login and they have to create accounts using their real names. They'll have to be verified.
Because people, they're worried that people may be impersonating celebrities on Tinder?
That's part of it. But they also want people to know that if you're going to hook up with a celebrity, this is the real deal, Neil.
How about that? That's weird.
That's got to be awkward,
right? Any names in the article?
Well, it says that the popular dating app has become popular amongst a set that has included, they claim in this story, Jamie Kennedy, Lindsay Lohan, Ashton Kutcher, and Josh Groban.
Josh Groban.
Celebrities' use has increased to the point that Tinder plans to launch a verification program similar to Twitter's checkmarks.
How about that?
Sometimes celebrities use different names on Facebook, said the creator of Tinder. This will allow celebrities to enter Tinder in a different way as themselves.
That would just be the weirdest thing in the world. To be on Tinder and have Lindsay Lohan pop up.
I was talking to Harley about it in the office, and we were both saying, if you're a celebrity, do you need Tinder to get laid?
Doesn't seem like it.
Just show up, right? Hi, you remember me. I'm Jamie Kennedy from Scream.
Well, maybe not that one.
The popular Scream films. Please come join me in my hot tub. Ashton Kutcher, Josh Groban. Leave some for the rest of us, won't you? Yeah. Yeah, I bet that was interesting. They're just like us. Celebrities are just like us. I am happy to hear that House of Cards is going to reach a wider audience.
Oh, is it?
Comcast Cable has struck a deal for the rights to sell the first season of House of Cards through their cable service. Well, let's say you don't have the Netflix or you don't subscribe to the Netflix. This deal will allow the cable monster to offer more programs for sale via the cable. So if you want House of Cards, you can get it.
That's a good show.
It's a great show. And maybe you don't want to pay Netflix's monthly fee of $7.99.
Or buy the DVDs.
Or buy the DVDs. So you're able to get it pay-per-view via your cable, which you already pay a service fee for. So that would be cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great. I think the more places there are to get content, the better for the consumer.
I agree. John Mayer and Katy Perry, they broke up.
John on Tinder?
John is on Tinder, yeah. He's got like 19 Tinder accounts.
This is a classic case of he said, she said, according to the reasons behind the breakup. Star Magazine is reporting that it was John's fault because he met a Soul Cycle instructor at a party and made out with her, and Katie found out and then dumped him.
And the other side?
John was sick of Katie's partying ways and thinks she acts like an idiot when she's drunk.
Is it possible they're both right?
That is very possible. I think that they're both right. A Soul Cycle instructor. That's such a cliche. It's kind of like a modern twist on a cliche. Instead of like a Pilates instructor or an aerobics instructor, she's a Soul Cycle instructor. A little soul kiss for the Soul Cycle instructor.
Okay.
That was his line, he said. Apparently it was very popular.
I don't think that was his line.
And Trouble in Paradise, speaking of boozing celebrities, between Portia de Rossi and Ellen DeGeneres?
Uh-oh.
They seem very happy together at the Academy Awards.
They do, but apparently Star Magazine says Portia Rossi is under Ellen's thumb. According to the article, Ellen drinks at home and says things to Portia that hurt her. Well, we know who wears the pants in that family. Ellen allegedly also has rules in place that Portia must follow. If she doesn't, well, then Ellen starts hitting the bottle, and the next thing you know, it's a five-finger correction for Portia. I don't like that. I got to rescue Portia de Rossi from Ellen.
Yeah, good luck with that.
I have to intervene. I need to intervene.
You don't really have what's needed.
I'm going to hunt her down on Tinder and find out what she's up to. Today's celebrity birthdays, singer-actress Liza Minnelli is 68 years old today. One of our listeners said she did the research and Liza Minnelli is an EGOT.
How about
really?
That?
How about that? Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony.
Very impressive. There's only like a dozen of those or so.
Yeah. 68 years old today. Singer James Taylor is 66.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Susan, the plans you made put an end to me.
Thank you so much. Ron Jeremy is 61 years old today. People are demanding the James Taylor, Kevin.
They're not. No one's demanding that.
You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again.
I just think you're terrific.
Thank you. Aaron Eckhart's 46. Ron Jeremy is 61. Did I mention that?
Yeah.
Graham Coxon of Blur. How's Ron Jeremy a porn star and Graham Coxon is a guitarist? How does that work out? Graham Coxon's 45 years old. Actor Sam Levine celebrates his 32nd birthday. And Jamie Alexander, Sif, from the Thor movies. She is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show with Andy Daly in the studio talking about his new TV show, Review.
I've seen fire.
We have Jason Doering and Ryan Hansen, who play Logan and Dick in Veronica Mars' movie, in the studio tomorrow to talk about that. We have a comedian Greg Fitzsimmons, and we have Dr. Drew on the program as well, and your chance to win tickets for Coachella tomorrow morning.